This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Some Nonsense with Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to the show.
Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Can I read you an email?
Yeah, if you want to.
All right.
Is it relevant to me?
Yeah, it's just to you.
Or was it just an offer that you've had yourself?
No, it's to you. Dear Ray, Nat and production team, hello.
Production team?
Yes.
But who's this we're talking about?
He's in Edinburgh at the moment, isn't he? Andy Butler's not here
Adam.
Today.
And fucking Andy Butler isn't fucking
no,
here.
He's off doing some other work.
But we've arranged something with him.
Well, he has given us some clips to be out later for the feature, What the Butler Saw.
He's given us some clips.
Yeah, they're on his review of what was it called? Cannibal Corpse?
Cannibal Corpse, if you want. Cannibal Holocaust.
Actually, I think. Oh, Cannibal Holocaust.
Which one are his clips?
There's four. She hasn't laid. He's just labeled.
Is it point one, point two?
Yes,
okay.
That's right. So.
So Butler, fucking hell. I mean, this has ever the FUBAR attitude rubbed off on Butler already? So he's now going, I'll just record it and leave it. Not going to turn up.
No, he apologised. He's working elsewhere, out of the office today, doing some OB somewhere.
OB?
Yeah.
Outside broadcast,
that's
that
right,
means,
yeah,
for the listener.
Yeah.
Can we not just call him?
No, because he's busy.
What's he busy with?
Doing an outside broadcast.
What's the outside broadcast
about?
I've
no idea. He just told me he's unable to be here today. He sends his apologies.
But he had plans already. He should have said to whoever is in charge of his real job, look, I can't do it because I've got to watch a grotesque, horrific, awful film and I've got to relay my thoughts back to Ray.
What I know is this was worse than Inside.
I don't think it is worse than Inside.
Well, for him it was.
For Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
I don't think it is worth it. We'll talk about it in a
bit. Well, here's good. So this email. Long-time listener to everything Ray Peacock. I always listen to the show on SoundCloud.
Who's it from?
This is from Lee in Stoke-on-Trent.
That's weird, isn't it? Look, I don't even know who that is. I normally know these people when they say who they are. I've heard from them before.
Okay. I enjoy the shows, but my favourite by far was the one the other week with Barry Dodds in the studio.
Yeah.
Could you not come up with some arrangement to have Barry in the studio with you and Nat permanently? I think him missing his slot that time was one of the best things he's ever done.
For his own career.
In terms of gaining a larger fan base, anyway.
Because
Before this, I had never heard of Barry before, and now I actually think he is hilarious and will definitely go and see him live once I get the opportunity.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
So we've got
Barry one fan, essentially.
Oh.
From him being, like, from his own ineptitude, he's garnered a fan.
Yes, well, after listening for all this time,
yeah,
I think Nat is finally getting the hang of the job.
Oh.
Now she's stopped doing all sexy flirts with the guests.
Definitely. Well, yeah, I think part of that, though, is logistical in that you're very rarely booked guests these days.
Oh, I've got two today. I think they're not coming here, are they? It's a little bit out of anybody's way.
It's not for Junior Simpson. Apparently Junior Simpson lives really close by.
Well, I don't normally, when I book guest hosts, can I have your address as well, please?
But you should say, are you nearby?
Well, I don't know if he is or not.
I don't know, so I'm not bothering.
I mean, I don't ask
If it's
guests,
not London, I'm not
I
interested.
I don't ask guests where they live. That
but you
be
can
insane.
Do. You can say, are you nearby to this place?
Right, okay. Well, fine, I'll do that.
Do that in future.
I think this is why she hires all the transsexuals now, so she can devote all her sexual needs to Ray.
What transsexuals?
We haven't had any. We've had drag artists.
Bethany Black.
Right, okay, that's one. Not, but that still doesn't count for all the transsexuals.
But
we did have Kelly
Mooney. Who you booked as well. Yeah.
I did book, all right.
So I'd argue that two transsexuals in a month is all these transsexuals.
it's all the transsexuals.
Well, it's probably fair enough comment, isn't it?
Well, that and so Ray starts to think that Matt's hands are not actually that big after all.
No, they're massive.
All joking aside, I actually think Nat...
my main issue with Nat's hands, by the way, isn't that I think they look wrong on Nat. Like, they look right on you.
Right.
I make the immediate jump and go, what would that look like around my penis?
Right, okay.
And it would just dwarf it.
Mm.
And I don't want to feel that way about it.
Oh, okay. All joking aside, I actually think Nat has a really nice voice.
I want two hands on mine.
And her naivety is also eternal. She's like a sexy retard. Ha ha.
Oh.
I've never been called that before, and I don't know if that's a compliment.
Well, we'll get a T-shirt with it on it. I mean,
sexy retard. I don't think
that. There's loads of things wrong with that statement, isn't there?
Yeah, but the word retard, for starters.
It's first off objectifying you by your by the fact you're a woman.
Yeah.
At no point did they say, I presume that's a heterosexual man.
At no point did
he say about any sort of attraction to me because that's not his sexual preference.
Right.
So he said that I'm long-term listen to me.
Yeah.
And you were dismissed as something to fuck.
Yeah, because I do all sexy flirts with guests. I hire transsexuals, and now I devote all my sexual needs to you, which is why I've stopped hiring men that I fancy.
You're not catered to me sexually in any way, shape, or form.
Naivety doesn't mean stupid.
I also don't think you have a sexy voice.
All right, fine. Well, I don't think you have one either.
So that's all right. That's good. Absolutely fine. But there's people say that you have, and I don't see it at all. I don't hear it.
It's good that you don't get it.
Why?
Because that would just be weird if you did, wouldn't it?
Why would it be weird?
I don't know. Then it would just be.
I wouldn't masturbate over it now. I'm just like say I might go. Oh, I can understand why somebody would find that a sexy voice. But I don't with you.
Okay. Thank you all for brightening up
my
week.
Why do you take that as an insult?
With this show.
I've desexualized you for the show, and you've took that as an insult.
Well, I think it's the way you sometimes things are said.
No, I just said I don't.
I don't think you've got a sexy voice.
I didn't say it like that. Fine. I didn't say it like that at all.
Did.
Listen back to it. You can't, because it doesn't work.
You said, I don't think you've got a sexy voice.
Right, that's fine. I'll accept that. I didn't go, I don't think you've got a sexy voice. I said, I don't think you have got a sexy voice. Mm-hmm. But that's obviously my own personal opinion for me.
Yeah.
And I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
For brightening up my week with the show and keep up the good work.
Really? Is your week that fucking dull?
Ben says, by the way, I don't know if you, Ray, follow the rap hip-hop scene.
No.
But Drake and Meek Mill are in the middle of a beef.
This is all irrelevant.
And now 50 Cent and Ja Rule have reignited their beef on Twitter. Maybe Ray and Nat could have an online beef in a hip-hop style, and a rap battle on air would be great, where you verbally tear each other apart in rhyme. Kind regards and have a good week.
Why has it got to be in rhyme? I've got to make it rhyme.
I don't know.
It's just making it harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the rappers that he's mentioned, they'll probably just shoot each other, I would imagine. That's not what happens,
I don't think Drake would. He's Canadian.
What does that mean?
The Canadians are pacifists. They're very relaxed. Their healthcare is free. They don't really have guns, do they?
Canadians don't have guns?
Not like the Americans do.
Canadians don't kill people ever.
I mean, there's
a Can you give us a call? 024-76-011-711. Two reasons. One is I don't know how to get Google on these computers, so I can't search it myself. But can someone just do it for... Can someone be my PA and just search Canadian mass murderer and see what comes up?
Even if there's one, that's just one, isn't
it? What do you mean, that's just one?
I mean, there's been lots more in the UK or in America. If you go,
Why are you flinging out facts as if you know? Do you know this for a fact?
Well, I know there's been more than one serial killer, yeah, in America.
But there's not been more than one in Canada.
When's the last time you heard about Canadian murderer?
Excellent question. 024-76-011-711. When was the last time you heard about a Canadian, what was it?
Murderer. And it might just be a one-off.
Wasn't the boy that done the shooting at the Batman thing, wasn't he Canadian?
Did he do it in America?
Hang on a second. So now this is getting all the more complicated, isn't it? So if this is any people who have committed the crime on Canadian soil...
It's got to be a Canadian crime on Canadian soil.
I don't think that...
If I go over to America and shoot somebody...
Yeah, they would say British serial killer.
Yeah, but then I've done it in America, so it counts as an American crime.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't be charged over here. You'd be called the British serial killer.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be charged
You could
over
be
here.
Charged over here. Oh, okay. You could be extradited.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen.
That could happen.
That happens regularly, doesn't
it? A long way, though.
Where
you might as well do it over there.
What was the hook hand man? He got extradited, didn't he, and was tried over there.
Oh, Abu Hamza, yeah.
Yeah. The Lockerbie man. Lockerbie bomb was charged over here.
That's true.
Wasn't it?
I think so. And I want to remember his name. But
either way, can somebody just let me know if there's been a lot of Canadian serial killers?
Yeah.
I think there is crime in Canada. I don't think, as Nat declared, they are pacifists is a thing.
Oh, getting someone on Twitter, actually.
I didn't say Twitter, I said call.
Oh, you did, call.
024-76-011-711. Let me know about Canadian killers and what their crimes were, what they did, how bad it was. Be as graphic as you possibly can be for me so we can dispel Nat's argument that Canadians are
pacifists. I need
more
than one. One isn't enough. I need five in order to count.
Where are these rules coming from?
You can't go, Canadians, dodgy lot, on one killer.
I didn't say that. I've not at any point said that. I said they're not pacifists. Your argument was technically there's no crime in Canada.
There's not a lot.
But you're not basing that on anything other than that you think there might not be.
And I have some family there. They're all Jehovah's. They're very peace-loving.
I don't understand.
They don't like Christmas. That's a problem. But apart from that...
It's not that Jehovah's Witnesses don't like Christmas. Blood. They're just a very arrogant people again.
They don't give blood.
I know they don't give blood. It's more about... I've no issue with whatever religion someone wants to follow. You can be, if you want to be an idiot like that, fine. But the Jehovah's Witness religion is, it's kind of a very self-serving religion. Mm. So, for example, they think the world can end at any point.
With the rapture.
Yeah, so they want everything now.
Yeah.
If they have money, they spend it immediately. Mm-hmm. If their due money is an inheritance, they want it.
But then that doesn't make the argument as to what you'd celebrate Christmas then. You'd go, if I want everything now, why would I have one day where I wouldn't give presents? If you want everything now, I have loads of presents, not none.
No, I think it's more, like sort of same reason they don't sort of celebrate other religions' holidays, because they're not that religion. That's what it is.
Yeah, but if I was Jehovah, I'd celebrate all of them. Hanukkah.
No, but you can't.
Christmas
no, but you can't. You see, because you're following a religion. The clue's in the word religion.
Yes, yeah.
You're following that, so you're following your own celebrations and your own things, rather than going. I mean, that's like sort of saying, why do Muslims not do Christmas? If I was a Muslim, I would do Christmas. Yeah, you sort of can't.
You said that Jehovah's are very like self-serving. I think you said, didn't you?
Yeah,
and
they want to spend their money. It's a very selfish religion.
So, which case? The rapture
from my experience of it, by the way.
Why have a bank account? The rapture could happen at any second. Just spend all the money every day.
Well, they kind of do.
Which is why I don't take Christmas off. Have it on. Have a turkey. Have presents.
I don't know what you're on about
because
now.
Because the rapture could happen on December the 25th.
Yeah, but that's like saying, why are you not going skydiving every day? It's like, well, because we just don't.
That's dangerous. You don't want to do that. That's a horrible thing.
I'm genuinely panicking about how few songs I've got.
Okay.
Because I can't maintain this conversation. I can't. Fucking hell, Barry. Barry
could go.
Oh, we've got Junior Simpson coming up in a minute, haven't we?
Yeah, I'll get back to him on the phone.
All right. Should I put a song on?
Go on, then.
Right. Should I stay or should I go? So, we have some tweets have been coming in now.
Yeah.
Paul Clark says, sorry, Ray, but this is an appalling start to the show. Huh? Blame producer twat. What they said?
Don't know who that is.
I mean, again, what's that?
Well, they're not here, are they? Who's producer twat?
Oh, I see. You don't mean...
Paul's trying to do a funny, though.
They mean you.
Right. Ha, that's nice.
There you go, Paul. That's the response from the FUBA representative. Can you be a bit more... Can you elaborate on that for me? That's why. Can you tell me what was appalling?
Mm.
I mean, I did say earlier on when I said I was on at 1:30, I said I can't be asked.
You did say that,
I did say that. So it's not like I'm not being honest about it. Catherine said, speaking of Dodds, this is where I first became aware of him. It's probably due... See, I get this is no use to me, Catherine. I can't watch a YouTube video at the moment because I'm doing a radio show. So you can explain it or just butt out. See, it's horrible, isn't it? Horrible speaking to people like that. Carpet Martin, I reckon the clear sexual tension in the studio today can only result in this again. Oh, is that a picture of us having sex?
But I
know it's not... You're not even there, are you?
Rupert Everett. And Adam is your penis.
I often think of Adam as my penis. Again, Catherine sent us a link, so that's no use to me. I'm busy. Carpet Martin, this was in December, sent me a link. I can't look, I'm busy. Manda Marsh, 10 of the worst mass murders in Canada, and a link. So there we go, 10. So there's 10 that we know of.
Okay, so they're a little bit.
Carpet Martin, Canadian serial killers for you. Again, I don't know anything about these people, though.
One of them's called Madame.
John Etta Clark, Robert Raymond Cook, Madame Le Cabot.
Ooh la la.
Follow me.
Sorry.
Is this what's going to happen now? You're going to say, yeah, but they're French.
Well, that's a French name, isn't it?
Yeah,
French Canadian.
Yeah,
they
speak French Canada. Valerie Fabricant, yeah. Albert Guy, Alexander Keith Jr.,
French.
Mark Lapine.
French.
But they live in Canada. They're in Canada.
Yeah, but.
No, but this is. You've tied yourself up with your own argument.
I know, and I realise that.
Because it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter what nationality you are. If they're in Canada.
There are some Canadians.
According to your rules, that's where the crime is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
There's some crime in Canada, but there's also some nice things in Canada.
But that's true of, like, everywhere in the world, isn't it?
Mm.
Is that not true?
I think it's true. I haven't been to everywhere in the world. If you've been to everywhere in the world where everything's nice, then do let us know at Fever Radio.
I'm trying to call Julia Simpson now.
Yeah.
This is what we do now. On the radio. Did you send him a message?
No. Because you said just put the...
Hello?
Hi, is that Junior?
Hi, speaking.
Hello, man, it's Ray Peacock.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm all right. We're already on air, by the way, because of where we are in the studio. We had to just call you direct on air.
Okay, is it possible to give you another number? The reception on my phone is not that great here.
I'll tell you what, we can't because we're on air, so I'll get Nat to contact you separately to get the number from you then. Otherwise, you'll be giving your number out to everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so no worries.
We'll do that. I'll get to do that. Cool. Bye.
Bye.
Junior Simpson, our first guest. Right, should we get Gordon Southern up? Let's get Gordon on. It's quite nice of you, wasn't it? That's what I think I'd prefer it like that, like just sort of short and snappy. Just kind of like, you know, just like, can I give you another number? Yeah, of course you can. Bye.
And then we never call
you. You told me that he wasn't promoting anything. Yeah. So there's no, I mean, there's not really anything more to say than that, is there? Other than, and again, I'd again argue that this is all stuff that should have been done before the show.
Well, no, this is the, okay, this is the number I was given. Again, I don't ask guests what's your home number, the PR that books them.
Right, well, they are called what? I don't like this thing of them getting away with it. What's his PR called?
I don't want to give the wrong one away, so let me just check that before I do that.
Right, okay, don't even know the PR. Don't even know who the PR is.
I think it's possibly two.
We'll ask him.
Okay, I'm hoping he's got iMessage because I'm going to text him, so I can't call.
I still have the call up. I don't know how to. Shall we ban caller?
Just cut.
I'll press ban caller.
Oh, sugar.
Drop. There we go.
You banned Junior Simpson?
Yeah. I've just blocked Junior Simpson's number. So now, I think we should leave it at that. I don't think we should even call him now.
I think we should.
No, I'm genuinely up for that.
I'm
pissed off with his PR. So I think we should
I'm
pissed off with his PR. So he'll have to take it up later on with his PR.
No, because I'm going to text him because you can't just do that and go, okay, we'll call him in at bye. And
it's not our fault now.
Yeah, but
it's
there's no reason to do
but
that.
But we're doing a radio show.
It's all right.
We shouldn't be fanning about now where I'm just talking to no one and you're pissing about on your phone, texting people and finding out numbers. Flipping hell. Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
Flipping hell.
So I just tried to text him his own number.
I mean, it's fucking... It's almost surreal, isn't it? It's almost like, how did I end up in this situation?
I don't know.
I've been in Amsterdam all week doing fucking gorgeous gigs.
Maybe this isn't the situation.
For shitloads of money.
Oh.
And then I come back to this.
Please have iMessage. Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
Don't have
iMessage.
Latest Junior Simpson news at the moment is Junior Simpson doesn't have iMessage. That's Nat's latest contribution. She did it off air earlier on, as I told you, but now she's bringing it on air as well. Junior Simpson.
It's good to know.
The comedian Junior Simpson does not have iMessage. How about that for a treat? Why don't I go through my phone book phone?
Yeah, let's try and text people.
And see who has iMessage.
Loads of people have it.
That could be our latest section. I'll just try and text people randomly and then we'll announce if they have iMessage or not.
We don't know about Gordon Southern yet. Let's try.
I'll just maybe do WhatsApp. Maybe we could do WhatsApp.
Yeah, can you WhatsApp on what? Yeah.
Barry, no, we're not drunk. Barry Dodds has just said, do you know what? I'm not a drinker. I fucking wish I was. I really wish I was drunk right now.
Yeah. Why?
I'd do it, Barry. Why? I'd do it.
I mean, I don't know how to... Also, it occurs to me I don't know how to work WhatsApp.
Barry, stay where you are, mate, because I'm going to phone you. Barry Dodds is now our emergency guest because Nat hasn't set up the guests properly.
I have.
You've not.
There's nothing more I can do, okay? So,
what do you mean there's not?
I tell you what, no more guests for you. Who? No more guests.
We've not got a guest now.
I can't say. Well,
you say it as if I'm losing out some way.
Why didn't you just say to him, we can't get you on another line, just keep him on that one?
Because that, again, isn't my job. I don't know that information. I don't know that.
But you could have just said that to him then.
What do you mean? But I didn't know that. That's like you saying to me, why did you not say to him, put either on line two? I don't know what that even means.
Right.
All I know is I call the number that my producer gave me.
I haven't got any other numbers. It's not like I'm withholding a number going, haha, let's see.
I feel like you might be. I want to know who Junior Simpson's PR is because I want them blame it. It's not Junior's fault. It's not your fault. I'll accept that. But we should have known this beforehand.
Yeah, but she probably Junior should have said to his PR. I've seen all the emails.
Whose fault is it?
That was the email. That was the number that he gave.
This is the point of the show today. We need to find out whose fault this is.
No, I've got the emails where he gave the PR. She said, what's the number to call on?
This show is not going off air until we know.
It will be, but...
No, not until we know whose fault this is. I know with confidence it's not mine. I don't know with confidence it's not Nat's, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I hope to God he's got WhatsApp.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
Let's have a look.
That was a producer on the radio. I hope to God he's got WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah, he's got it. It's fine.
Right. It's too late.
No, it's going to be Sanic.
It's not. I'm calling another number now. Have you spoke to Junior?
No.
Has he not replied to you?
No, not on WhatsApp.
Hello?
Hi, Barry. It's you're right, man.
This is fucking mental.
I know. Today. I know, right?
This is your finest.
From an outside eye, what is it? From an outside ear, rather, what does it sound like? Well, how do you gauge it? What do you?
It's sort of like Fisher Price have brought out their own version of a studio.
Yeah.
Like Fisher Price, my first studio.
No, because I think. But I think that would work though. I think if it was a Fisher Price studio, that would work because that'd be like quite simple to do it.
Right. I was going to suggest.
Hang on a second. Can I throw another name to blame into the mix?
Go on.
Andy Butler.
Oh, right. Yeah,
because
he's really good at fixing.
Because Andy Butler's not here.
I feel less secure.
Andy Butler.
That he's not here.
Nat,
actually.
Junior Simpson, or Junior Simpson's PR, who Nat won't name because she's not confident who it is. I mean, listen to that. A guest on the show. She's not sure which PR it is.
I mean, we book so many every week.
Have you not got it written down somewhere in an email?
Yeah, I have somewhere.
Well, I was going to say, why don't I get in touch with Junior, get the right number, and then text it to Nat, because I've got iMessage.
Oh, Barry's on iMessage. Yeah.
Barry?
Yeah?
Much as I appreciate that, that's letting them off too easily. That's not your job. You're not on a, are you on a wage as a producer?
No.
Right, well then I'm not allowing you to do that. It's got to be sorted out by the people who fucked it up. So at the moment we don't. All I want to know now is whose fault it is. That's all I want to know. In my heart of hearts, I want it to be Junior's PR's fault.
Why?
Because I don't like PR people.
In breaking news.
Right, here we go.
Gordon Southern doesn't have iMessage.
Right.
Why don't you just knock off early?
I'm fucking happy to, Barry, honestly. Like, genuinely, I mean, we've got stuff to do anyway, so...
Yes.
I feel my life ebbing away.
Can I say on emails now, when I book guests, do you have iMessage? Just a little caveat.
No, just... But I think... And I would have been doing this from the beginning, Nat. I'd have been saying, how do we contact you for the interview?
Well, do you know what? It's funny you say that, because that's what I always do when we have guests. And I say, even guests in the studio, guests, can I have your number as a backup?
So whose fault is it?
I would say it was Junior's, because on email, the PR said, what's the number to call you? Well, that is the number that he gave.
Fine. Well, now we're getting somewhere. So at the moment, Nat... There's a lot of finger-pointing going on here at the moment. So Nat thinks it's Junior Simpson's fault. What are your thoughts on that, Barry? I know you have a rich and varied history with Junior Simpson.
Are we talking about that now or after you spoke to him?
I think there's a very good chance I won't be speaking to him.
Can I just say, I heard earlier as well. Well, first of all, thank you for flagging off my career again.
I didn't.
You said that football was the best thing that's happened for like
No, I didn't. I didn't say that at all. Somebody else said that. Somebody wrote in and said that.
Oh, really? Oh, well, whoever that was who said that, really nice comment.
Who was it,
Lee, from Stoke-on-Trent.
It was Lee from Stoke-on-Trent, mate. So we didn't... that wasn't me. I didn't say that. I reported speech and I didn't even report it. Nat reported it.
Mm. No, but it was a nice thing that he said, though.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
You've got a fan, mate. Lee in Stoke-on-Trent.
That's the first fan I've ever had, ever.
Book a tour date in Stoke-on-Trent, mate. Start off small. Book a tour date at Stoke-on-Trent. Lee will come that. He might have a friend or something, so there might be two or three there.
Right.
Start off with that. See how that goes. Then we'll let things progress. See if you get a fan somewhere else, then go to that town. I'll tell you what the worst thing is to do, is to go, from my experience, is to go to a town where you've been before, where you know you've got fans, who then don't come again.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's the worst feeling. So it'd be like going, if you went back to Stoke-on-Trent, like, I know Peacock and Gamble, we did, where's a good example for this? The Gatehouse, Staffordshire Gatehouse, or Stafford Gatehouse, where we sold it out 1 year. The following year, we had like sort of like three quarters full. And when I did it on my own, it was like 20 people. So you know they're there. You know they're there because they've been before. You know you've done a good show there. If we'd had shit shows, I'd understand it. But you know they're there, but they don't come and support you. And then what happens is the theatre then won't... I would imagine, I don't know, but I can't see that Stafford Gatehouse would book me back now. It's not like... The economy of that is all wrong. Makes no sense.
Mm. Do you know what? I've just realised that even I've taken such a laid-back attitude to this show.
But you're not even asked.
I've just lit up a fag.
amazing. I mean, can you bring some cigs down here for me? Because to be honest with you, I'd quite happily spark up a cig in this studio at the moment. I don't know what Nat's doing. What are you doing at the moment, Nat?
I am emailing Junior's PR for this phone number.
And who are Junior's PR?
Glorious Talent.
Glorious Talent. Is that his PR or his management? That's management,
isn't
it?
That's management.
Yeah. Yeah, Barry's just chipped in and said that's management.
Okay.
So we need to, I think, if anything, can we not call his management and speak to them? Why not?
Because they haven't done anything wrong.
Well, they sort of have.
Well, they haven't, no. Why has there always got to be somebody to blame with you for every single thing?
Because I'm the person who's dealing with it.
This is something we can deal with. Because I don't have to start throwing toys at the pram.
I'm not throwing toys at the pram. I've just not got time for this in my life.
Okay.
I've really not.
Well,
I've got other things to do, and I can't be. This job is the worst part of my life at the moment.
Okay. Well,
and the worst part of my career, because it's made so difficult to do. It's so difficult to do. I've been told that the show, people couldn't hear it. I've got guests who want us to call back on a different number that we don't have.
Yeah,
I've got PR people
that.
Saying, I'm saying though, I just don't need the hassle.
Okay.
I get 150 quid a week and it's not worth the hassle.
Okay.
It's really not. And when you express this, you get, okay.
Well, I don't know what you want me
to say. That's the response. Well, sort it out. Maybe someone sort it out. I've been saying for weeks now, weeks and weeks and weeks. I get grief fed back to me from other people in the studio, from you saying, why is he slagging me off? And I'm like, I'm not. I'm slagging all of it off, the whole thing.
Mm.
And then people get, and I don't need to deal with it. I don't need to deal with fucking children. So I'm not the one chucking my toys out the pram. The people behind the scenes.
Mm.
How was your weekend, Barry? What did you get up to?
I had both gigs pulled, so there's the career going well.
Brilliant. What did you do? I tell you what, I think there's going to be an opening going at FUBAR.
Yeah.
If you think you're up to that, if you can be bothered with that.
I'm popping down the studio on the 24th, aren't I?
I'd certainly change that to pencil.
All right, okay.
What gigs are you meant to be doing?
I was meant to be doing a gig in Preston that got pulled because there's still no tickets.
Right, so we'll take Preston off your tour dates.
Preston's
not happening now, so we've got Stoke in at the moment.
So Preston got pulled, but that was on full pay because they pulled on the day.
Oh, fine, that's all right. How much was that? Come on.
150 quid.
That's all right, isn't it?
It's all right.
Not something to hang your entire life on.
No, I can't imagine anybody would do that.
No, go on. What else?
And then Manford for Leeds pulled on the week, and they went, yeah, full pay.
Should I get full pay? Because I've had Manford's Leeds pulled for next week.
I think it's got to be on the week.
If it's, like, out of the week, could I get half pay?
Ring Jason Manford and ask him.
Should I ring Jason now?
he's got iMessage.
Why don't I ring Jay now? And not even, I think it's illegal to do that, where you don't even say you're on the radio.
You have to tell them.
All right, I'll go, hi, Jason, I'm on radio. And then I'll just ask him what the deal is with the money.
Can you not mention my name in any of this that I'm just openly discussing on the radio?
Yeah, I mean, how's that going to work, Barry? How's that? I know you do this in real life anyway. If you tell me something about a giga and you didn't hear that from me. In fact, the other week we were talking about something and you called me back. And I turned to my girlfriend and said, I bet you this is Barry saying you didn't hear that from me. And it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
It won't work in this scenario, mate, because you have said it out on the radio.
No one's listening.
That's true. And also, even the people that are trying to listen apparently are struggling with it.
Oh, really? Is that still happening?
I don't know. I'm distorted in my headphones as well. But again, it might be the headphones. We don't know, because I only got the headphones about 30 seconds before we went on air.
So I had a weekend of just sitting back doing nothing, but I had an act round stopping here for Alison June Smith.
And you had an act round stopping here? I know, Alison.
she stopped round. Guess what?
Fair good.
On Saturday night.
Did you watch Cannibal Holocaust?
No, Inside.
And what were her thoughts on that?
Loved it.
Nah. I don't believe you.
No, she really liked it. She said it was really tense.
Yeah, really tense. Why did you have your hand on her leg? All the way through it, just squeezing a knee. I've got I've got your own. I've got Andy Butler's responses to Cannibal Holocaust. Do you want to hear them?
All right. Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. If I just click this now, Nat. Sorry, I know you're busy. If I just click this now, will it just come out?
Yeah, there's a little bit of silence on the beginning of clip one, just so you know, about 4 seconds.
But I don't have to turn anything up.
No.
Pointless, isn't it? Okay, so this is Andy Butler speaking about Cannibal Holocaust.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Nat. I hope you're well. I've made notes again on this movie that you made me watch. This was worse than the first one, I won't lie to you. So I know Ray likes a little bit of background into the setting. I just got back from a friend's house. We made Thai green monkfish curry, a bit powdery, but very delightful at the same time. Whacked a few chilies on there, bit spicy. Got home. Barry Dodds had sent me the film in a DM on Twitter.
Barry? That's illegal.
I had to let it buffer, so I thought what I'll do is I'll watch the trailer. And the first sentence that you see in the trailer, I'm not sure whether you've seen it, the first sentence is, "The men you see eaten alive are the same men who shoot these incredible scenes." I mean, it can't go more... I was worried from that, to be honest with you. And then it just got worse, because one of the highlights from the movie that made the trailer was someone's penis getting grabbed. I mean, that's a highlight. It was going to go downhill from there. That's my first point.
Right, okay, so... Well, first off, I don't even know that it says that at the beginning, because the copy of it you gave me, Barry, was in a different language.
Well, what he's watched there, he's watched the trailer. That's not the film.
Oh, is it not in the film? Oh, no, he said he watched the trailer. He said that. He said while he was waiting for your one to buffer, he watched the trailer. So that's his review of the trailer, what he's done there.
Right. So, well, there's just not much from that movie that you can really put on the trailer, because none of it is appropriate.
I mean, I'd argue there's shitloads from that movie you could put on the trailer, because a lot of that movie is just dull as dishwater anyway. There's very little happens in it. It's a little flash moments, but other than that, it's just people wandering around, isn't it?
You could say that about Blair Witch, though.
Yeah, I suppose. So what does it say? The people that you see eating in this film. So that's a spoiler in the trailer, isn't it, straight off the bat?
Well, you get told right at the start of the film that basically these people that some people have went into the jungle to make a documentary and they've never been seen again. So you get told at the start that they're dead.
But it doesn't tell you that they were eaten, although it is called Cannibal Holocaust. So maybe that gives it away straight off the bat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Butler's main issue there appeared to be that somebody's penis got grabbed.
I know which scene he's on about. Yeah, I don't know why that's on the trailer.
I mean, that penis is cut off, isn't it?
No, that's where the tour guide, or one of them, jumps into the water with all the natives and they start grabbing him.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, they do grab his penis, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't want people to listen to this now and think, oh, Cannibal Holocaust sounds like a sexy film, because it's not. I think other than that, it's the sexual content is mainly rape.
Well, there's the one scene between Alan and Faye where they...
You say this like I've learned the names.
Right, I've seen it so many times.
Who are Alan and Faye?
Alan's the guy who's sort of leading the documentary, the director.
Right.
Faye's the camera lady who is playing his partner in the film. Bizarrely, a bit of trivia on it. That scene that they filmed, they were going to... the actress suggested to him, she said, look, let's go into the jungle and do it for real together before we film it tomorrow so it's more natural.
Right.
He refused. And they didn't speak for the rest of the movie, apart from when they were making scenes, because she was so angry with him.
I've got a similar thing to that going on in the studio at the moment.
Yeah, what is she doing?
Sulking.
Very quiet.
I'm finding Andy Butler's email. He described it as disgusting. In short, it was a disgusting, saddening movie. That's what he said.
I say that's fair enough, but I think Barry's going to argue that that's what it's meant to be.
Mm.
Yeah. It's meant to leave you cold.
Can you... I mean, it's not a great pitch for a film, is it? If I wandered into a studio today and went, I want to make a film, right? I want to leave people cold, quite frankly.
I don't know. I think you've got to look at what a film's trying to do. If it's a romantic comedy and it's meant to make you feel uplifted, a bit happy, if you're seeing a horror film, that doesn't have to be a happy ending. It can just be something that just...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be an happy ending. I agree with that. I agree. It doesn't have to be an happy ending, but it still needs like it still needs something. It needs to be entertaining on some level, doesn't it?
I found it thrilling and shocking.
Like, I'd say that Inside is entertaining. It has entertainment aspects to it. But I think Cannibal Holocaust, because it has a story inside, but I think Cannibal Holocaust is so badly... do you know what my main issue with it was? It was so badly performed.
The acting is pretty awful.
Like, that was the most horrific thing in it, was the acting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worse than The Turtle.
All right, Barry, give us, you know, the killer turtle in it. Right, you know the film better than me, so do a brief synopsis or a synopsis of Cannibal Holocaust. So before we hear any more of Andy Butler's points, we can hear what he's on about.
Well, the film starts off with a guy in New York who is going to try and find out about some filmmakers that have disappeared in the jungle.
Filmmakers.
I've got a question for him.
Hang on, Nat's got a question already.
How do you say movie?
Movie.
Can't say it again?
Movie.
Why'd you say film wrong then?
Mate, she has got you there. Like, she genuinely has. I mean, it's a weird, it's almost Asperger's logic that she's just done, but she's right. Why do you say film wrong but not movie wrong? Because as we know, if you mispronounce something, you would mispronounce it in every word for it. when people mispronounce things, like, for example, car and automobile means the same thing. Yeah. But if somebody said automobile, they would also have to pronounce car wrong as well. Otherwise, there would be there'd be no logic to what they were saying. So why do you say film, but just movie normally?
Can't answer that.
Exactly, mate. These are things that you should speak to with your, if you ever have a therapist or a psychiatrist or something. Or maybe ask your mum. Maybe just say, like, when did I start saying film?
Are there any other words you say wrong?
Good question. I don't think he knows he's saying film wrong.
Right.
Are there any other words, Barry, that you say wrong?
Or that you think you say right?
I don't know.
Have you been accused in your life of saying... I presume a lot of people have accused you of saying film wrong because you say film.
Do you say cling film?
That's a fucking brilliant question. Barry, do you say cling film for me now?
Cling film.
Right, this is fucked. Right. This is fucked, Barry. She's right. She's got you, mate. If anything, she's reinstating herself in my affections because she has got you fucking bang to rights here, mate. This is like the moment on the bill where they just fucking have a bit of silence, where they just stare at each other, when they realise that... This is when Fred West went, oh...
I was about to say that. Oh, fuck me, that's funny.
Why? Did he say film wrong as well?
Yeah. They all started falling. He nearly got off. They were laughing that much. No, there's a bit when Fred West was interviewed on his interview tapes where they catch him out. It's not dissimilar to, what's your man, the weatherman bloke who's gone to jail?
Fred Talbot.
What, do you say Ulrika Jansson as well? have you watched Fred Talbot's interview?
I've not seen that one.
Mate, as soon as we're done here, go onto YouTube and look for it.
I haven't seen that
it's
one.
The funniest thing you'll ever see in your fucking life. Fred Talbot being interviewed, right, about these horrific, you know, horrible sexual crimes. And he's clearly been told by his lawyer to say no comment to everything, right? To say no comment, no comment, no comment. And the cop is asking him all these questions. And he's going, no comment, no comment. And what's weird about it, there's two weird things about it. One of the things is that when he suggests things like that he's done inappropriate things with kids, he goes, no comment. Like he tonally makes it different. It's not like no comment. He goes, no comment. Like, I particularly no comment to that one. So that's weird straight off the bat. It seems like he's not that intelligent, really, in this interview, but it might be he's panicking because obviously.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He always kept falling in the water on that weather map, didn't he?
I don't think he kept falling in. I don't think people tuned into this morning going, just keep watching it. I promise you, he'll fall in. Literally every morning he falls in. I think Fred Talbot fell in the water maybe once.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem... Why would you have a map
again,
on water?
Again, this is the Canadian murderer argument all over again, isn't it? You can't say that Fred Talbot kept falling in. Because he didn't. He is guilty of a lot of things, but that one he's not guilty of. Fred Talbot did not keep falling in the water on this morning.
I know we had a streaker as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did. I met that bloke. Nice man. But fucking skin. His skin. He just has to keep paying fines all the time because he streaks everywhere.
Was
that the bloke who's trying to walk the full length of the country naked?
He may well be doing it at the moment. He's from Liverpool. He's a funny bloke. He's a really nice bloke as well.
Why did he do it on the weather map, though?
We're getting distracted, aren't we? Why did he do what?
Go naked on the weather map.
Why did... Who?
Because he ran across the weather map, didn't he? And Fred Talbot had to go, oh!
He jumped in the water.
I thought he ran across Bristol or something.
He ran...
Yeah, he did. The streaker jumped in the water, climbed up on
the... that's the important bit, that he jumped in the water first. He didn't just arrive in Bristol and run across. he got himself to the map.
On the map, yeah.
Yeah, and then what did he do?
I can't remember. I think...
I love that we're getting caught up with the fact it was Bristol. It doesn't matter where it was on the map, does it?
I just remember Fred in a jumper just go, oh... Silly, and then push the camera away.
Yeah, something's happening now.
Yeah, and then carried on talking.
I don't think he pushed the camera away from him because the camera would have been further. The camera wasn't at my. Holy shit, I genuinely think I'm still asleep.
Doesn't feel real.
It really doesn't. Why did the man do it?
Because he wanted to get on TV.
Totally. Nat's just answered her own question, by the way. So what was your original question?
He just wanted to get on the telly, didn't he?
Yeah, because he's a streaker. That's what he does. Yeah. It's his thing.
But, you know, it was cold. It's cold in Liverpool. That's where it was.
Yeah. He's not bothered about his penis size. He's not particularly well endowed anyway.
I just don't really get streaking.
It's just that I think he raises charity money with it I think. Okay. I believe he does, yeah. But Fred Talbot's into you, Barry. Sorry about this. He says, they're asking him all the questions. He keeps saying, no comment, no comment, no comment. And then... they show him this diary and he says, is this your diary? He says, no comment, right? And then they read bits out of the diary. He says, no comment. And the cop is fucking amazing. And it's totally deliberate. He goes, so it says here, Fred, you went to, what's that word? And Fred Talbot leans over and goes, let me have a look. Oh, my handwriting is atrocious. And the cop goes, so you do admit it's your diary? And he goes, no comment. And then he's put asterisks against certain days, apparently. And Talbot's saying, he starts talking and the solicitor clearly gives him a look at him. And Talbot goes, well, I can tell him this, can't I? And he goes, I used to have panic attacks. I don't really have them anymore, but people have suggested to me, this is how much I've watched it, I can fucking quote it practically verbatim. You know, people suggested to me that it might be food. So if I had certain food, someone said it might be cheese, but I found out it wasn't. If I had a panic attack, I would write it, I would asterisk it in the diary that I'd had a panic attack. That's what the asterisk meant, that I'd had a panic attack. So I could try and work out what the food was. I don't really have them anymore. I do have them, don't get me wrong, I do have them, but... And then the copper says, well, I'm going to put it to you, Fred, that these asterisks mean they're when you've had sex. And he goes really wide-eyed, just goes, no comment. It's fucking hilarious. It's genuinely hilarious. If it wasn't so, you know...
Horrible crime.
But I mean, I'm not even going to say that I'll get in trouble saying things like that. But it's like, yeah...
Crime doesn't pay.
That's right, you know. Crime does not pay. So, Barry,
that Fred West one, a friend of mine worked on the editing of that.
Really?
It was a guy, oh God, this comes full circle. It was the last time I did a gig with him, was with Junior Simpson, Killian Monson.
All right, I know Killian,
Yeah, Killian edited that and he was like, you're going to love it.
It's amazing. Right. Well, me and Ed spoke about it on the old podcast because up until Fred Talbot's police interview, it was my favourite police interview. And again, like truly abominable crimes, horrific crimes that Fred West had committed along with his missus, but... Fuck me, when they catch him out in that video, it's incredible. In fact, they didn't even catch him out, he catches himself out.
Yeah, yeah.
Fred West basically just goes, it killed someone, and he goes, and I was stood there, and I was thinking, oh, this is bad now, this is getting bad now. That's three now. And then there's a pause, and he goes, two, that's two. That I know. And the couple goes, yeah, you said three, then he went, no, I was getting mixed up then. And what was it? It was like fucking 12. It was loads at the end, wasn't it? That's what happens if you're not Canadian. Mm. So, Cannibal Holocaust Barry, quick synopsis, go.
camera crew gone missing in the jungle. Guy, a professor from New York, goes to try and find them, goes out, meets the tribes, befriends them, eventually wins their confidence.
By letting him touch his willy. That's the bit Andy Bullock was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, he has a run around with some naked ones. And then he eventually goes around to the campfire where he meets the chief and he looks up in the trees and there's skeletons and film reels. And he realises...
What reels? What?
Just say movie. What I think it's easier for everyone.
What reels are there, Barry?
Movie reels.
So he wraps it in cling film.
Cling film. Yeah, cling film. I don't know. How do I say it?
Oh, God.
I'll have to ask somebody to watch out and listen for us.
Does this feel like the end of the world to you today?
It's weird, isn't it?
Do you not think? Do you think it's got a feeling of as well that there can be no repercussions because no one gives a shit? Like it's like it doesn't. Nothing could happen as a result of it because no one cares.
How often do you say cling film?
Oh God.
Because you said you're going to get people to watch out for it, and I think I never say it.
How often do you say cling film? Means it as well, straight face. It's a genuine question as well, straight face. How often do you... As if people fucking... How often do you say cling film?
I never use it, so I never say it.
You've said it about 40 times in this show today.
It's the first time in about 5 years I've ever said cling film.
Right. I think most people don't really note it down when they say it.
Say tinfoil.
Tinfoil. It's a different thing than that.
Yeah, that's what I use.
Yeah, yeah. It still works for sandwiches. Can I ask you?
I don't know what's going on anymore.
Can I ask you another question about it, Barry? About Cannibal Holocaust. There's something that occurred to me when I was watching it, and I do have your copy of it in my house at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing you tomorrow, so you can get it.
Yeah.
And please fucking get it. Because I've got to have it the wrong way around on the shelf as well, because it upsets my missus.
Right, okay.
Just like the imagery on it and stuff.
Yeah.
I think there are naked children in that film.
I don't think there are.
Well, what would your argument be then? Because they look like naked children to me.
Well, I don't know what naked children look like.
It could be like Willy Wonka.
I mean, I love that he's saying that. Were you never a child yourself? It doesn't mean you've seen them this week, Barry. It just means that in your life, everyone has seen naked children in their life. Might be the parents or something. I think there are naked. I think there are naked young girls in that film.
Again, things are getting said on the radio that I don't think should go out because.
Well, it's widely available. This film. It's not like.
Oh, yes. Unless
you made it on your own at home and I've not even watched Cannibal Holocaust. I've watched your version of it that you made yourself.
No, I can't remember there being any kids in it.
Right. Good. I'm glad you can't remember. That means you didn't take too much notice of it. I think in Cannibal Holocaust there are naked young children, underage children. They're not in a sexual environment, but they are naked.
Well, I suppose when you see footage of tribes and things like that on the TV, that everyone's naked in them.
That's true, but are they a real tribe?
What, in Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Are they?
So
those.
The names that are used in the film are the actual names of the tribes. The Yanomamos and the is it the Yukumi?
All right, mate. Don't take the piss out of them. So, but are they playing? But are they performing in that film, or are they just being themselves?
They're performing in it.
Right. Okay. So, by that rationale, then you should be able to dramatise child pornography, and it should be allowed. It's just if it's real, or rather, the other way around. So, real child pornography should be allowed, but if it's dramatised, it shouldn't be allowed.
Do you not think that film where the kids dress as adults is a bit like that, Bugsy Malone? Because some people who look at Jodie Foster, or like in Taxi Driver, when she's all like...
It's a good question. Have you ever seen the film Bugsy Malone, Barry?
I've seen bits of it.
Do you not have a problem with the fact that...
Look who's talking. That was weird, wasn't it? Baby.
Yeah, baby talking. What? Do you not... Barry, do you not... Barry, do you not find when you watch Bugsy Malone, you find it a bit inappropriate that the children are dressed up as adults, and then they've got in Looking Talking and Looking Talking too as well.
Yeah,
and Looking Talking
right
now.
Mouth in that one.
In Looking Talk, in Looking Talking now, it goes very sinister. Yeah. And dog talks.
Yeah. something weird.
Do you think that's all right? Do you not think that's highly suspect, Barry, that they have a child talking and expressing opinions? Do you not think it should be illegal? Look who's talking.
Yeah.
I've not heard anyone mention that for about 20 years.
I bet Savile and Harris and all that lot, I bet they used to have parties where they'd watch like Bugsy Malone and Look Who's Talking and just fucking lose their minds. Do you know what I think? Where they're like, oh, we can get it legal.
Yeah.
Rolf Harris went around Jimmy Savile's house and went, I've got a bit of a treat for you, Jimmy. But, would you like to hear a baby voiced by Bruce Willis? Would you enjoy that? And it appears that only John Travolta can understand.
Yeah.
Would you enjoy that, Jimmy? Like, oh, brilliant. Bring it in, Rolf.
Yeah. I bet they did the box set one night, all three of them.
Fucking hell, I bet he finished an entire cigar during Lucky's talking.
And then went for a run to calm down.
So, do you think that's what all the marathons were with Jimmy Savile? Just him calming down. He got in such a state of arousal with all the naughtiness that he was getting up to and watching Look Who's Talking on repeat. But he was like, I'm going to have to go for a really long run now to calm down.
After 26 miles, he'd gone down a bit.
So, Barry, sorry to interrupt. So they return with the bits of film that they found.
They return with the footage. They have a brief discussion that gives you a bit of background on the director of the documentary where he says, he was known for sensationalising things and he would often set things up to create drama that didn't exist.
Yeah, no, that's a weird part of the film, isn't it? Because they show some actual real-life horrific footage of war and things.
Yeah.
And then claim it was dramatised.
Yeah, they show World War II footage of people getting executed and they say this is his previous film, but this is fake.
Yeah.
And so it's very clearly real, though. So it's muddying the lines of what is real and what is fake.
Yeah.
Which is why, and I said this to you, that there is animal cruelty in the movie,
but
it's justified because you're watching.
It's not real. It's not. Barry, it's not. It's not justified.
I can't. When I watch it,
there's a scene in that film where a lady is raped, quite brutally raped on the beach, right? Yeah. And not just like raped with a man's penis, like with lots of things.
Right.
Now that you could turn and say, well, that's justified in the film. If it was real, that would be justified because of the effect it has on the audience. But it wouldn't be justified, would it?
Well, it's not a rape scene. That's the thing. That scene on the beach is a guy taking his wife.
Yeah.
And he kills her and does something horrible with some bits of wood and a bit of mud. And he kills her with it, and that's
all right. It's sexual assault, then, isn't it? He does brutalize her and penetrate her with objects.
Yeah, and but that's a setup for later on in the movie where the documentary crew rape a young girl, and then later on they see her impaled on a spike, and it's like, ah, she's had the same punishment as what happened
because she's punished for having sex outside of marriage, or whatever, isn't she?
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is you can't say, oh, well, killing a live turtle in real life for the film is justified because of the effect it has on the rest of the film. Because the same argument could then be applied to, well, they could have just raped that young girl for real because that would have been the effect it would have had on the viewer. It would have been justified and it wouldn't have been, would it?
Yeah, fair point, yeah. I'll take that one on the chin.
Won that one? Won that argument? 1-0?
I just thought the point of it was to make you see real violence, real things getting killed, and then that would make you question, hang on. Because the whole thing's trying to make you believe that the second half of the movie, where they're watching the found footage, is real.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's what they're setting you up for. I mean,
never in any doubt, because the acting's so appalling.
Yeah, that's what lets it down.
What are you getting, Nat?
Tissue.
Let's get the tissue out of the bag. Nat, careful.
Why?
You're falling out.
Oh.
Okay, so the second part of the film is basically the footage of what happened to them.
Yeah, it's them watching what they've the cancer they brought back from the jungle, and it's made to look realistic from a director's point of view. Oh, it looks authentic. It is just the acting in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andy Butler.
Andy Butler, point two. You ready? Yeah. Basically, they all get killed at the end. So you see them rape the two of the blokes rape a young girl from the tribe. They do horrible. They burn a lot of people alive and stuff like this for their films, and then the tribes capture them and kill them, all of them.
Yeah.
They dismember one of them.
One of the things that happens in the second bit of it is that there's two tribes living in the jungle, and they set up that these tribes are warring, and they're not.
Ow, ow, ow. So I was thinking two tribes.
All right. and the tribes are living peacefully, but that's not what they want in their documentary, so they burn one of the tribe's families in a big bonfire,
yeah,
and then film it to make out that the other tribes did it, which they didn't. That's why the tribes wouldn't have attacked the filmmakers. They attacked them for what they did.
If people make cling film in a factory, are they cling film makers? For all Nat's faults today, she has fucking utterly slammed that one out of the park.
Yeah.
To go cling film and cling film as just like, that's... There's absolutely no argument. She's totally got you. She got you to a point today, Barry, where you didn't know how you said the word movie. Where you were like, where you actually said, how do I say that?
I don't know how I say cling film or cling film. I don't know now. I'm going to have to tell someone who I live with and say, can you just listen out for a saying it?
Yeah, but you're going to force it now. You have to say it naturally.
Can you listen out for when I say it?
And then... Like, I'll give it a week and I'll forget about this. And then I'll say it and then we'll go, that's how you're saying it. I'll be like, brilliant, right? I'll text Ray now.
Honestly, Ian Ray, don't matter anymore, mate.
Right.
Genuinely don't matter anymore.
Text both of them.
Right, here we go. Here's Andy Butler's second point.
I've got a few questions that I want to chuck at you. I'm upset that I'm not there for the answers, to be honest, right? First one, did they, like, employ terrible actors, or was the acting standard just a lot worse in the 80s? Second question,
yeah.
Did they actually kill all the animals? I know you mentioned that they killed the turtle, and I'll get onto that a little later. That was horrendous, but they killed a rat. I think a pig was murdered as well. It made me feel hideously uncomfortable. It made me feel sad to be a human. And it almost put me off, it didn't really, but I should say, it almost put me off meat eating.
It nearly slows up then, didn't it? Because he nearly said, it almost put me off killing, meat eating. That a butcher has done for me. I, of course, don't go out and shoot pigs myself. So I know the answer to both questions. Barry, the acting, was that standard acting for the 80s?
No, it's just really bad acting.
Really bad, isn't it?
Don't forget it's dubbed as well, because it's an Italian movie. So
no. Is it?
Badly acted and badly dubbed.
I didn't even notice that it was dubbed.
Yeah.
Didn't notice that. So the dubbing was fine for me. It was just dubbed badly with bad words. Right. I mean, bad performances. And second off, were all the animals killed?
Yeah.
Yep, horrific. So, quick list of them. Turtle, butchered, ripped
turtle,
to shreds.
Muskrat, pig.
Pig shot. Muskrat is impaled, is that right?
Penknife through the throat.
Yeah, and the monkey, which was...
Head chopped off with a machete.
It wasn't even its head, was it? It was it's just the top of its head.
Scalp. Yeah. And a spider hit with a machete.
Just remind me again, this is one of your favourite films, yeah?
I think it's a very good film. When I watch it now, there's an option on the sort of later releases to watch it without the animal cruelty.
Yeah.
And so if I watch it now, because I don't need to see that.
Yeah, no, we go. I mean, we can all wank too much, can't we, Barry? Right, there's point three from Andy Butler.
I should probably explain what the movie is if these guys haven't seen it. So it's about, I think, two different camps on one island. Camp's a strong word. It's more of a tribe. And they're both cannibals, yeah, and they've got permission to eat each other. So it's like a feeding frenzy, if you will. And these guys went over to make a documentary. And they got eaten alive, and they had to join in with eating a human. I didn't think a film would have this power over me, but it literally made me gag, made me want to throw up, and I had got goosebumps. It was the most horrendous thing I've ever seen. I just got really confused. I didn't think there was a story there, Ray. I won't lie to you. It just seemed like they were just trying to do one shocking thing after the other, after the other. I didn't think I'd ever say this, but I preferred the first movie you made me. I had to choose. I would choose... to watch the first one, Inside, which I thought I would never say. I mean, this one, I just couldn't connect with it, which is probably a good thing because it was a bloody horrible movie.
Right. So what Andy's saying there is he got turkey lumps at one point, or goosebumps, as a lot of people call them.
But that, when you get goosebumps sometimes, it's good, isn't it?
Well, goosebumps. But you could, yeah.
Exciting.
But I think Andy's probably in severe shock.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy's understood the film from that. He got the story kind of wrong then.
Yeah. Because there is a story to it.
Yeah. Well, there is a story, yeah. Yeah. Amongst all the animal killing, there's a very loose story hung on the animal slaughter. No, because I think Andy said they go over there to find out about a tribe and then they get eaten, and that's not... It's the first lot of documentary makers that get eaten, not the second lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a chance Andy Butler may have skip-watched this.
I think he skimmed it, yeah.
And I know that I live relatively close to Andy Butler, so... And Barry, you're accessible to my house. I think we should kidnap Andy Butler and make him watch it while we watch him.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, is Andy's point... Go on, what are you saying?
I was going to say, if he says that's the most traumatising thing he's ever seen, wait until next week. Serbian film, Andy. That's what.
So you're Serbian what? Serbian what?
A Serbian film.
Mm-hmm.
And what do, when Serbian people have their sandwiches in the morning and they take them to work, what would they wrap them in? Assuming it was made in their country, what would it be called?
I'm not having. I don't know what the word would be. I'm not even going to have a go.
It would be called Serbian...
Hawk.
No, it's a cling film. Serbian cling film, they would wrap their sandwiches in. That'd be fucking amazing. We should patent that, man. And bring it out and sell it in Forbidden Planet. Serbian cling film. Here's Andy Butler's final point.
The worst scenes I saw was when they like pulled a baby out of the woman and literally buried it in the mud the first thing. I don't know how anyone could even write that. And I'm a little confused as to whether that actually all happened, whether it was real footage. If you could, you know, let me know about that one, that'd be brilliant, Ray. I think brilliant. On a whole, it was just not a pleasant experience. I mean, the first one at least had a little bit of story to it. This one, I couldn't follow it. There was just a lot of penises flying around, people shouting. Boobs. A woman got raped. At least I think it's rape with a stick. I don't know whether it counts as rape if it's with a stick. The whole thing was horrible. And please, 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 don't choose a movie like that next time. At least choose one with a story. That's all I'm asking for.
A Serbian film does have a story.
Serbian film does have a story. I would also, but Barry wants him to watch it uncut as well.
Yeah. Barry, have you seen most of the horror films?
I've seen quite a lot.
I think Barry's seen most. Have you seen I Spit on Your Grave? Because I had to watch that one once. That was horrible.
Seen it several times.
Oh, what? Why would you watch that?
Whoa, go back. Why did you have to watch it?
My babysitter made me.
Oh, fuck.
Where was that? How old were you?
About 11, I think, 12.
Who was your babysitter?
Jack. His name was Jack.
Do you know where Jack lives now? Because I think you might have a case.
No, I didn't. He got me to watch all the horror films. He started me off easy with The Exorcist, Halloween... And what was the other one? Oh, Texas Chainsaw.
Did your parents know that Jack was doing this?
No.
How old was Jack?
He was about 16.
If I get a doll out, can you point it at places?
He used to make me sausage rolls. They're always burnt on the outside still cold in the middle.
Yeah, always burnt on the outside. Yeah. That's how a lot of them describe it afterwards, don't they? It was a burnt on the outside sausage roll. No, that's not what that was.
And that was the first sex scene, I said. And then he went, I said, what is this? I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, right,
and I said, what is this? And he went, that's sex. And so I was terrified for a while, thinking, this isn't very nice. She's not having a nice time.
I mean, I'm genuinely, like, forget the show. I'm genuine. That's, like, really bad.
No, it's all right.
No, it's not.
No, because when we got older, we used to date for a bit.
Oh, fuck.
I honestly, mate. This has been both the worst radio ever and the greatest radio ever at the same time. If I was listening to this, if I was in the car now, I'd be like, I'd turn my sat-nav off so it didn't interrupt it. I'd be fucking glued to this show now if I was listening to it.
Well, the tension in it, as well.
The revelations in it. You've just told us you were abused as a child.
I wasn't abused.
You were.
I wasn't touched.
An adult showed you adult material, and then later on you had sex with him.
Didn't say I did that, I said I dated him.
Did you have sex with him?
Yeah.
Right, there we go. How old were you when you had sex with him?
Like 16.
And how old was he?
We would have been 17 or 18. A bit more than that. 19.
Nat, how old are you now?
Yeah.
She's 31.
Yeah.
She's 31. Yeah. So, hang on, I'm just working out.
32, sorry, she's just 32.
32. When you saw that movie,
yeah,
not only was it, well, I was, it's not even 18, he showed you illegal material.
X, oh, it was, yeah, an X, Barry, tell her it was an X.
They've remade it, you know, recently.
Doesn't matter, though. Let Barry, I know what Barry's point is, it's important. Keep going, Barry.
He's shown you illegal material that was never passed in this country as an X.
Oh,
that's true. For many, many years. That is the equivalent of someone showing you child porn now.
Oh, well, then that's
equally illegal.
Oh, he's repented, though.
And then he had sex with you later on.
Yeah, but he's repented to God because he's a priest now, so.
Is he that man you sent me a photo of that time?
Yeah.
Fuck me. I mean, someone should write a book about this show today.
I think he's made it good with God.
That is a job that he's a priest.
No,
he is. I've seen this picture, Barry. I've seen there's a picture of him in, like, old gowns and shit. He's not even a proper, it's like a different
red,
sort of priest,
red
isn't
gown.
It?
I don't know what priest he is.
He's wearing all, like, red gowns and shit. And garlands
it
and stuff.
It might be a cult even, I don't know.
It probably is. It looks like a cult from the photo. Do you not feel at the moment that this show, this 2.5 hour show that we're doing now, I mean, foot knows what's going to happen in the last hour.
Oh, we've got Junior Simpson and Gordon Sutton.
Well, we'll see. But that could potentially end up like on a syllabus somewhere. Like it could, like in a media school or something, they could play this. This could be like a case study.
I think I was like 14, maybe. I was a bit older.
No, 14's still not all right now.
I didn't like the film. I didn't like. Also, what did I watch?
And even whether you liked it or not is actually irrelevant.
Clockwork Orange, didn't really enjoy that one at the time. I enjoy it now.
You've just told us that an adult.
But he wasn't an adult. He was like 15 or something. He was definitely under 16.
I don't know what the law is there.
But then it was him and his friend James. So that probably can't.
Oh, there were two of them there?
Yeah. But James died of mad cow disease, so he can't do anything about that now.
I've got so many questions. We're not laughing at James.
No, it was horrible, actually. Well, obviously it was, but yeah, he just had a bad burger.
I mean, is that comeuppance for, like...
I don't know.
Is that karma that he showed illegal material to a minor and then had a bad burger? And I mean, even as I'm saying the fucking words... I'm hearing myself saying it, go, what? It really? Is this part of your week? Do you know what I mean? I'm fucking sad. Is this actually... I've got to put a day aside. I stopped hoovering for this, and I'm like, I wish I'd carried on hoovering.
A lot of people have stopped hoovering because they're listening to this and go, what the hell's going on?
I've just stopped painting my games room. I was painting that, and to be honest, I'm getting the feeling that I've breathed in a lot of the fumes.
Mm.
Because this doesn't feel real.
I'm not sure this is going to come out as a podcast, but I want a recording of it. I do want a recording of it so I can listen back to it at some point. I don't want anyone else to listen back to it. I don't want anyone else to endure this. I'm deliberate. And there's two things. I'm not playing music because I don't want the podcast to get interrupted. I want this to be a fucking... I want this to be as big an endurance test for the listener as it is for me presenting it. If I've got a beer, then they've got a fucking beer. I'm not giving them a song to get out of it. No. If I do play a song, I'm playing Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. That's all I'm playing today.
Okay. Again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's Twitter saying?
I've not even looked, mate. Probably nothing.
Someone said that I think I've had a breakdown.
Think you've had a breakdown?
Yeah. That's nice.
Well, I've got off a light there.
Phil says he watched Cannibal Holocaust at uni, fell asleep. All I remember is trees and blood, and I ate a massive pizza. Good times.
It's good you didn't have a burger because you could have died. Daniel Wallace said, will the revelations ever stop flying? The saga of producer Nat. Carpet Martin has said, now we know about Nat's past. It explains what she was up to with those disabled kids the other week. Fucking, I mean, don't even get started on that again. Well, often they don't recognise themselves. You're right. Present company accepted, nobody was disabled.
Yes.
But they were abusive.
Well, they weren't, though.
But one died from mad cow disease.
And one's a priest.
I wouldn't have eaten meat out of any of them ones. And if one's a priest, I mean, this is hell.
I always thought their house needed a hoover. Do you know what I mean? It's got animal smell. That's the thing I remember as well. I could have run a hoover around here. I always thought that when I went around there.
Did you not find Barry in Andy Butler's last point? I like that because that sounded like it was an edit point. Yeah. So when people listen back to that, they'll go, What did they cut out there?
Took out something there. What did they do to her with a hoover?
They cut something out there, then. both me and you picked up on that then, Barry, that Andy Butler kind of just shot himself in the foot with his last comment because he said he didn't know if it was real or not.
Exactly. So it's done what it was meant to do.
Yeah.
Because he said that the animal killings were horrific, so it's put him in the mindset of what's real and what isn't. And if you saw that clip without everything else around it, you'd see it's fake. Very, very obviously fake with jump cuts in all the convenient places.
Which bits are she talking about?
She's tied up by her arms and the... it's called social surgery. You get told that she's diseased and she's pregnant and they pull the baby out of her and beat her to death.
Oh, that bit, right, okay. Yeah,
can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course you can, Nap.
I'm really lost.
Do you want a phone number about who's called about this sexual abuse that you had as a child?
No, but when you're saying she was, I'm really lost in this plot. But you said I didn't hear any sex. I just heard that someone was sexed by a twig or something. So what do you mean she's pregnant,
Barry?
Well, the thing is, there's more than one woman in the film.
Oh, right, okay. And one is pregnant, and then one is abused.
Even
by
then, she
stick.
Fucking stopped at film. Went, no, hang on, Barry. What the what? it's a different. Oh, okay. There's two different things.
Oh, okay. Pulls the baby out. A bit like Inside. There's a baby connection with the films.
There is a baby connection. Well, there's a connection. So, in what Barry Dodds likes.
Yeah. Did you like a Serbian film?
I thought it was incredible.
Mm. I am going to agree. I'm going to agree.
I have seen that. And although we realised last week after the show, we talked about it and I missed a big plot point of the film.
What did you miss in it?
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, we did.
But I actually didn't think
Nat hadn't understood the entire point of the film. So
I knew why I was doing it.
I remember we were in the car. So Barry was on speakerphone. Me and you were in the car, Nat. And both me and Barry realised at the same time that you had completely missed the ending of Serbian film. You completely missed what actually happened. At the end of a Serbian film, this is a bit of a horrible thing to talk about on the show, but it's relevant to what we're talking about. The spoiler alert, by the way.
Don't give it away. I think people should go and watch it.
I'm going to do it in the next 10 seconds, starting from now. At the end of the film, the protagonist of the film, the lead protagonist of the film, accidentally rapes his own child because he thinks it's under a blanket.
Yeah.
Okay, you can come back.
Yeah,
now.
But that have you not seen Old Boy? That's what happens in Old Boy.
Okay, so you can't come back now. Go away again. You just make another spoiler there.
Oh yeah. Don't watch the remake. That's terrible.
I thought it was all right. That is the point of a Serbian film. That's the point.
He finds out. I think I'm Rainbow now. He finds out in the end, and he's like, "Oh, I can't believe."
I mean, how can you go? I think I remember that bit.
Because I saw it a long time ago.
It would just stay with you.
A long time ago.
Did you watch the uncut version?
Probably not. I don't know. Whatever was on DVD.
Me and Ed Gamble watched a Serbian film uncut on his computer on a motel bed in, I think it was Windsor, I believe it was. It was, yeah, because we'd been at Windsor Fire Station where we'd done a private party, me and Ed, for some lady's 40th or 30th, something like that. And we'd done this gig. They'd booked us a hotel as well, which was a motel across the road, like a proper American-style motel. We went into the motel, we had a room each, but I went into Ed's room because I was going to just go home that night. And we lay on Ed's bed, me with no trousers on, right?
Yeah.
Because I was hot and I felt restricted by my trousers. Not in a sexy way. And it was making me laugh that Ed was uncomfortable that I was on his bed with no trousers on. I had my shorts on, watching a Serbian film which has horrific things happen in it, like horrible, horrible things happen in it. And we realised halfway through that I told some girls during the show our hotel room number.
Oh.
But I told Ed's hotel room number on stage.
Yeah.
I said, I tell you what, ladies, you want to come back to our hotel? As a joke. Yeah, serious. But saying, come back to the hotel later on. We'll just cross the road there. And I'd said Ed's actual room number.
No.
So we heard knocking at the window and these girls had come over from the gig.
To come and come and say hello to you.
I don't know what the reason was for. Yeah, just mess it, whatever it was. But me and Ed lay on a bed, essentially watching dramatised child porn.
Yes, yeah.
There's a lot more to the film than that, but that's what happens in the film, but the whole thing's a metaphor for Serbia. And we would just lay really still on the bed and wouldn't answer it.
But then the girls probably heard this screaming.
They could hear, like, horrible noises from the computer. And so, yeah, it was a bizarre night. But I thought the film was amazing. I thought it was fucking amazing. Like, horrible, hard going and that, but utterly just dividing what it does.
Better than Human Centipede?
I think it could
much better.
Yeah, it could eat human centipedes and shit it out through several digests. We don't have
film for.
I'm not sure that he should be subjected to that. I mean, he sounds genuinely upset in those clips.
Well, what's a slightly?
He's done them very, very professionally, but he does sound genuinely upset.
He didn't enjoy it.
What are your thoughts, Barry? You're going to stick to Serbian film, aren't you?
I think he should watch it. I think it's. I mean, we've not gone easy on him. I mean, but we could have gone harder in the suggestions. I mean, that one that I suggested, one of the August Underground. Films. Films.
What's that one? 100 Days of Sodom. Do you know about that one?
Oh, Salem.
Salem.
I prefer Sodom. I'd watch 100 Days of Sodom and that.
That's supposed to be a horrible one as well.
Why? But it sounds lovely.
What's it called?
Salo.
S-A-L-O. Why did I get 100 Days of Sodom from then? Is that not a nickname for it?
Is that a film, Barry, 100 Days of Sodom?
He knew what I meant, though.
Is that plausibly something that Nat's fucking abusive babysitter has made us sit through?
That is actually the title of the film, Solo, 100 Days of Sodom.
That's it, I thought so. Now, that one's horrible.
It's more of an art film.
100 Days of Sodom, the art film?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Solo's more of a cling film. I've got to go and speak to Junior Simpson, man.
Yeah.
All right.
If he's still, he might not even be waiting anymore.
Send him my love.
Do you want to tell the story? Do you want to tell the Junior Simpson story or not?
I can quickly tell Nat it.
Do you know the story, Nat?
No.
All right.
This is my biggest ever fuck up as a comedian in the years I've done it.
I'm just going to preface this story first of all by saying, first off, if you don't know who Junior Simpson is, you probably didn't know Junior. He's a black comedian who kind of a trailblazing black comedian as well. And I don't mean to sort of, you know, use his race in that way, but that he kind of is. And he was sort of like very successful comic on the circuit. He's done bits and bobs of TV and stuff. You know, kind of a known face sitting in the circuit, sitting well respected on the circuit. And Barry was doing a gig with him, and also this story is absolute. It feels like it's urban legend. It goes around the circuit so much. I've been told it by so many people. I'm like, I know what happened, but this story is passed around.
And is Barry always attached
so
to it?
Much?
It's Barry's name. It's Barry.
Weirdly, there are two, actually three, maybe stories similar to this on the circuit, and this is the only one where people say. But it was Barry Dodds. Okay. Barry Dodds was doing this.
Okay.
There's another one about something that happened at the Hi-Fi Club in Leeds where they always say, oh, this comic said this. And I think it was Marcus Birdman, is that right?
Yeah, Marcus Birdman.
Right, okay. And the other one I don't really want to mention because it's a bit worse. But that's the Dave 20-minute one. But it's Dave 20-minute, his comedian from Talented, but I don't really, the story's not quite as funny.
All right, okay.
But I'll tell the Marcus Berman one straight after Barry. Is that, I'm allowed to?
I don't know, has Marcus talked about it? Because you don't want to get Marcus in the shit, do you?
Marcus did it.
Well, if he did it, yeah, but is it going to reflect, is it going to reflect badly on Marcus?
What do you reckon, Dodds?
I think he'd be all right with it. Because, again, it's been told a few times. And do you know what? Just like my story, it was perfectly innocent.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I know that.
All right.
In fact, do you know what, Barry? I'd argue yours is more innocent.
Yeah.
Because there's an underlying thing in the Marcus Berman one.
Right. Well, tell Barry. You tell.
But Barry, you tell your story. I've never heard it from the horse's mouth before.
Right. I get asked about this story every other week, and I have to go through it because there's been different versions of it where they miss out all the important facts and it looks like I'm just being a dick. And there's ones where they've just muddled it, but this is actually what happened. There was a gig that was running about 5 or 6 years ago in Teesside, and it ran in August. And it was called Ark in the Park. Now, the Ark's a gig that a guy called Peter Vincent runs, and once a year they go and do it in a circus tent in a field for all the locals.
It's in Stockton. It's Stockton Ark. It's a really nice gig. As are all Pete's gigs.
So I'm heading to the gig.
When they go ahead. Go on.
So I'm in the car heading across with a guy called Killian Monson, who was doing an open spot, and he was driving.
Who you mentioned before.
So yeah, so we're heading along, and basically I'm on the phone to Peter Vincent, who books it, and everything had gone to shit because the Edinburgh Festival was on, and so was Leeds Festival. So loads of acts dropped out, and he was like, shit, I don't know who we're going to get on. So he was ringing around. I didn't know who was going to be on. It was so up in the air. So I got to the gig, and it was literally in a circus tent. They do the circus in the afternoon, then in the evening you sort of stand like in the round, like in the stand bit, and address the crowd around you. And I got there, and Pete was like, right, we're going to have some fun with this, right? You're not the compere tonight. You're the ringmaster. So what do you mean? He went, well, here you go. Give me a top hat and a whip, right? And he's going, right, so, you know, it's like the circus. You're the ringmaster. So I'm like, all right, fair enough.
I've never heard that bit of the story, by the way. Right. Never heard that before.
So I've got this going on. I'm thinking, God, I look like a knobhead because I've got this hat and a whip.
And then you put the hat and the whip on. And you look brilliant.
So Peter goes, right, I've managed to sort something. I've got some people come down from Leeds Festival, right? They're going to be here. You're going to have to fill for time a little bit. You've got Roger Monkhouse closing, Killian in the middle, your first act's Junior Simpson. I went, fine, right, just go on, get on with it. Because I get stressed enough about gigs anyway, so I wasn't taking it who the first act was.
Excellent comparing that.
I was stressed.
Didn't even learn it, mate. It's right on my hand.
So I went out, and I've got the whip and the hat on. I'm like, welcome to the circus, ladies and gentlemen, cracking the whip on the floor. And I'm like, right, tonight, you know, it's not the comedy night, it's a circus. We've got three clowns for you. So I was like, really pleased.
Nice, yeah.
So I'm like mucking around with them. I went, right, what some people do is, what some compares do is when they get an act on, they make men cheer like women and things like that, right? But I think it'll be fun because it's the circus. We're going to be the circus animals.
Right. A lot of animals and so elephants.
Get ready for this.
So I went, right, this side of the tent, you're going to be Team A. Now, because it's in the circle in the round, I misjudged it. So Team A was about 40, 50 people on my right.
Yeah.
Your Team A, you're going to be the circus lions, right? So come on, get your clothes out. So everyone's got their hands out. I'm going, right, start roaring. They're going, ah, 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 ah. I'm going, oh, brilliant, really funny, this, mucking about.
Yeah. Right, and Team so B, far, so good.
Team B, to my left, is about 200 people. Mm-hmm. And I went, and you're going to be the circus monkeys, right?
Okay, so, yeah.
And, like, all the benches were, like, you know those benches you used to get at school, like the long bendy benches, right? They were like them. Right? Like, I went, so come on, then, right, start your monkey noises. So I'm going, ooh, ooh, ooh. I went, do the arms as well, do the arms. So, ooh, and they're all bouncing up and down on these bendy benches. This is brilliant. All right, let's bring it all together. Right, Team A, go, lines. Rah. Team B, monkeys, everything. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I went, ladies and gentlemen, Junior.
No! Oh, my God. What the hell did he say when he came out to everyone doing monkey noises and impressions in front of him?
So I've no idea what's happened. I haven't put two and two together.
Right. He has, I'm sure.
He looks a little bit like, what? And I shook his hand and went, like, smiling. Have a good one, mate. Walk back through the tent. And I get back there and Peter stood there. Right. Well, Killian and Roger Monkhouse. Killian is on the floor laughing. Right. I'm like, what's the matter with him? Right. Roger's got his hand over his mouth, texting. Right,
That's when it came out, that moment.
That second. And then I looked at Peter and all the blood drained from his face. What's the matter with you? And he went, just have a look out there. So I pulled the little curtain thing back and I have a look. And I could just see this big silhouetted black man in the spotlight and 200 people slowly putting their arms down, looking at each other like, what the fuck is we doing? And it's Penny Jotner and I went, oh no. And all I heard through the PA was, what the hell was that shit? And I went, oh fucking hell.
Was that Junior?
And I was.
Do like, the voice.
Have you spoken to him about this?
It was the longest 20 minutes of my
life. Yeah, but since then, like, how have you addressed this? We could do that now, couldn't we? Just get them.
Well, I love Junior to bits. He's one of the nicest people. He came around to my housewarming when I moved in here, and I see him loads. And he's the coolest.
Yeah, Barry had him over his stuff. It's the attitude. That's Dodds's attitude. He was like, yeah. Do you want to come to Ashmore? And Junior was like, yeah, I'll come to it. And then he got there and he just handed him a
feather
suit.
With some shelves up.
Awful. It's awful how racist Barry Dodds is.
Yeah, I didn't know that about you, Barry. Can't say film. Man. Barry Dodds can't say film. Racist.
That's yeah, good. Can't say film to... and thinks that's appropriate to bring, you know, to bring a black man onto the stage with monkey noises, Barry. Have you and Ginny ever spoke? Have you ever spoke about it? You must have spoke about it on the night.
We've spoke about it because I think he gets asked about it probably as much as I do.
Yeah, I dare say, man. Mm.
But the problem with that story is that because when people tell it, they don't give it any context. They've got, oh, did you hear about Barry? He once just brought on, he made the crowd do monkey noises and got you.
I've always heard that it was in a circus tent. I've always heard that. And I've always heard that you were getting people to do animal noises and that it was a mistake. No one's ever implied when I've been told it or when I've heard it, no one's ever implied that it was in any way conscious or that you know there was any forethought at all to it. It's always been like, listen to this, what fucking Dodds did by accident. It's never been in fact the only time I've ever heard it told where you did it on purpose is the times that I've told it to people. and again even for the podcast of this, I'm gonna edit it so that it sounds like you did it on purpose.
But do you know what, thank God it was Junior, thank God it was just such a nice bloke, because I can imagine a few people would.
Sorry, what are you implying? He's saying some of them are violent.
No, I'm not saying that.
What acts on the acts on the second that could really take it as a?
It would be really, really offended by it, and think that it was something deliberate. But
okay.
Junior's known me long enough to know that I am just a bit of an idiot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't always think.
Would it have been? Would it have been within his rights? You know, even if it's not, like you say, it's not in Junior's nature anyway. But would he have been within his rights to have been genuinely pissed off?
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely
yeah.
Within his rights. Because at the end of the day, I did make people do monkey noises, but it wasn't from a perspective of this is going to be funny or this is going to be antagonistic. I just thought we were having fun because we're at the circus.
Do you know what's just occurred to me? I've genuinely heard this story told before. When they've said it was Rudy Liquid and not Junior Simpson,
really?
Yeah. Well, doesn't that tell you things as well?
It told you that 20 man.
No. No, but that doesn't, mate. That sounds so awful on Dave. Like that's. Oh, do we need to explain the story? The Marcus Bourbon story is.
No, I don't think you should.
It's Barry, it's your call.
I think Marcus would be fine with it. I think 20man would be fine about his as well. The 20man one's just a bit stupid. He forgot an act's name and introduced one black act on as a different black act.
I think that's really bad. I think that's really bad.
Yeah, because that is literally just going, you just look the same to me.
Yeah. I think that's really bad. But 20man's not like that at all. But
he's not.
Like I was that. Shocked when you told me that. I was like, fucking hell, really?
Yeah.
And who did he bring on as who? It was...
He brought on...
Should we not say those?
I don't think we should name names.
Fine.
I think we should get Junior Simpson on to talk about this.
All right, fine. I feel like we're on 10 talks here at the moment. The Marcus Bourbon story is...
Yeah.
This is what I've been told anyway, okay. Is that Marcus went out at the Hi-Fi in Leeds and there was a black guy and a black girl sat on the front row and Marcus said, how do you two know each other? And they said, we don't.
And what was his response to that?
I don't know. That's all I've ever heard of of that story. So, like, such an easy thing to do. Tells you so much about the way we think and about the way of the world.
Mm.
How we assume things and all the rest of it. It's so loaded that. But as a comedian, all you think is, fuck me, I wish I'd seen that.
Mm.
I wish I'd seen Birdman's face when they said we don't. Just to see, like, what on earth would you do?
Yeah.
Like, if I'd done that, I'd be like, well, I like to think that I wouldn't have done it. But if I had, you know, not thinking or whatever, what would I have said to that?
Yeah.
Well,
what would Barry have done?
What would you have done, Barry? Yeah, Barry.
Monkey noises.
Probably got him doing monkey noises and brought on another act. Right, Dodds. You've been a lifesaver.
Right,
that's
an hour and 10 minutes. That's
early
off the show.
Is that how long you've been on? We spent for an hour and 10 minutes without a song?
Oh.
Yeah.
Better play a song. I'll see you tomorrow, Barry.
See you later.
Take care, man.
so you gotta let me know.
Hi, is Junior there, please?
Oh, hang on, I'll just get him for you.
Thank you. It's Ray Peacock. Thank you. I mean, this is brilliant. This is this is absolutely brilliant.
Who's that?
I've got no... What are you asking me for? I don't know.
He's upstairs, I think.
Is Junior still expecting us to call him?
Yeah, we said we were. We got the right number from.
Oh, we messaged him there to let him know.
Hello?
Yeah.
Junior, hi, it's Ray.
Hi, buddy. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How are you? We are on the air now, by the way. It's been a big mess up these phone lines today.
Okay, sorry.
It's not your fault. Well, we don't know. We don't know if it's your fault, actually. It could be your fault. Or it could... We don't know if it's your fault or your management's fault or my producer's fault. We've not
it's
got...
my fault because I'm black.
We could do that if you... If you want to play that, I'm not going to say that. If you want to state that, that's absolutely fine. I'm gonna, to be honest with you, we've already had so much racially charged content in the last half an hour that I'm going nowhere near that now.
That was just in Kumbaya.
Well, do you know why we've had racially charged content?
Right.
Because Barry Dodds has just been on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains everything.
Yeah. And we've
the guy is like a racism time bomb. You don't expect it, you know what I mean? But all of a sudden,
this is what out. Well, this is what we learned, Junior, is that you absolutely didn't expect it.
No. But always somewhere lurking in the background. I think basically Dodds is kind of like a BNP member trying to reform.
I see Dodds as more of his own party. Like, I think, like, BNP look at him and go, come on, mate.
You're making this look bad.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I've never seen, other than the famous story about the circus tent, which Barry's just told on the radio.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've never seen any evidence of Barry's racism.
Well, that's it. You see, it's kind of like it's stealth.
Stealth, yeah, stealth racist.
You don't expect it at all from anywhere, and then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem is after that, he's still my mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's because you're abused, essentially.
I think I've been institutionalized. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
I've been lured in into his thing, and now he's got me. I'm kind of like Dracula's, you know, little henchman, the guy that was a... You know, not a vampire himself.
I know what you mean. You'll end up dead yourself. Because,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm happy eating flies and, you know...
Junior, would it be going too far to suggest that Barry sort has kind of claimed ownership of you?
He's taken my soul.
Do you know...
Maybe I should call my mum very, very quickly and say bye now.
Yeah.
I mean, thank her for all the fried chicken she gave me.
Yeah, that's...
And tell her from now on it's going to be sort of like, you know, steak and ale pie.
That's what it feels like to me. It feels like Barry has been so assumptive in how he's treated you over the years that he now feels like you're essentially serving him.
I think basically what's going to happen, what nobody realises is that probably within 5 years, we'll rise up throughout the comedy ranks. Myself, DK Amos, Reggie Hunter, Nathan Kent, all of us will be there to do his bidding, and we don't know why.
I can... And you know what? That's not... I mean, hear me out. That's not a bad idea for a sitcom. Like...
I don't know if Channel 4 will go through it, though. ITV, they'll snap it up.
I think with a sitcom, you're always asking your audience to just accept the premise.
Yes, so, exactly.
So if our sitcom is that Barry Dodds essentially owns yourself, Stephen K. Amos and Reg D. Hunter, that he owns the three of you. You're like, look, don't worry about how this happened. Just accept the premise.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll happily write on that, but I'm not using my own name.
I think the problem is that ever since ITV back in the 70s lost Love Thy Neighbour, they've been thinking to regain that. How can we redo that, but for 2015?
Mate, for all Love Thy Neighbour's faults, it's left a hole.
There you go, and I think Dodds is a man to fill it.
I reckon so as well.
Dodds and his crew.
Barry Dodds is an Alf Garnett for the new millennium. Fuck me. So we've just. I mean, I've wanted to ask you about it for years, and every time we've gigged together, I've always bottled it.
Yeah.
Because I've always thought, what if you're genuinely pissed off about it, or what if you?
Yeah, but in all honesty, how can you ever be pissed off at Barry Dodds?
Well, what Dodds just said though, he literally said it. He said that there are other acts who perhaps would have been, and he also said, by the way, they would have been justified in being pissed off. Like, he said, you would have been utterly justified in being genuinely pissed off about it. But you could be, couldn't you?
Have you heard me do the material about me going to that gig in Swansea?
Yes.
About me going to the place called the Monkey Bar, and then when they play me to walk on stage, it's the Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
And I think because Barry knows that story, you know, but I think he was kind of in the, you know, deep in the subconscious.
Yeah.
So you are suggesting that he did it on purpose? I've known Barry for years. The first time he ever took a plane trip overseas, it was only to Jersey, but that was, I was at that gig, and he was really excited, and it was like a kid in a candy store telling the audience it's the first time he's ever been on a plane and his mum's going to kill him. He didn't tell her that he was going to go on a plane.
Right.
And so I know the guy from his, more or less from his conception to now.
Yeah.
And I could never, ever take offense, because there's no, in all honesty, there's not a malicious bone in his body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I love the guy, and I would defend the guy. There's a few, if those words or that situation come out of maybe 90% of other comics on the circuit, then maybe I would have taken issue.
Okay.
But because it came out of the mouth of Barry Dodds, it was, there was no malice there. By the time, I don't know if you've ever heard the story.
This is textbook of Stockholm Syndrome, isn't it? It's textbook.
I don't know if you've ever heard the story of how Daniel Kitson introduced me.
No.
Okay, well, I don't know if I can say it on the radio, but you track down Daniel Kitson.
Is it libelous? Is it slanderous or libelous?
It's not libelous, but it does include the heavy use of the N-word.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay.
I wouldn't be fine.
No, you can't say it.
But you're fine. How's that fair?
he literally introduced me as one sly N-word, basically.
Oh, right, really?
And I was howling with laughter, because he said, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the time for the last act. Now, what can I say about it? Well, he's not one of us. And I say, don't judge, let's hear what he's going to say, and then we can make a reasonable assessment at the end.
Brilliant.
He's one fly, nigga. Please put your hands together for Jimmy Simpson. And
brilliant.
It was hilarious. I walked onto the stage in Newcastle. Half the audience were pissing themselves off, and the other half were kind of stunned about what they just heard.
Yeah.
But it was great.
It's interesting, isn't it, though, when you get in that situation where you're like, do you know what I mean? Isn't it weird when you're in a situation where you don't know if you're allowed to laugh?
I think I always term laughter as like a knee-jerk reaction. You know, you hear something, and before you have time to really think about it and analyze it, you're laughing.
Yeah.
That works for me, irrespective of what's been said.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think sometimes if you overthink something, you know what I mean? No matter what the joke is, you'll find, if you overthink it, you'll then, I think it's like, I think Adam Bloom said sort of like, comedy is like frogs. You know, if you dissect it, it'll die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think if you go in for the...
But then he spends half an hour telling you why that statement was clever.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And that's how I kind of live. And also, I kind of enjoy the fact that, well, enjoy, but I kind of, it's interesting that in this day and age, racism, as such, is still a fairly taboo subject matter to tackle, and especially if you're white.
I mean, it's probably, like, pretty much untouchable, man.
Yeah, and I don't know why. And I think it's because of the way that where the perceived balance of power is. Now, I can go on stage and talk about racism and, you know, that's how I make my living, people.
Yeah.
But I can do that, and it's accepted by black audiences, white audience, whatever, right? But if you were to go on stage and talk about racism, all of a sudden you've got to really pick the path that you're going down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's not fair. I think just because I can go on stage, or black comics can go on stage and say, yeah, you know, like black people do this, but white people do this sort of thing. I think, number one, it's weak and it's, you know, unimaginative, but it's accepted.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from a black person. But if a white comic goes on and talks about race and all that kind of stuff, they have to be extremely careful that they cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and then hand out muffins at their door at the end.
That's a bit weird. Saying that we all have muffins, mate. Don't be racist about that.
No, not you.
Yeah, got you.
It's the others, mate.
It's a weird one, you know, because I think I've flirted with supposedly joke racism, not in stand-up so much, but certainly in the old podcast I used to do, mm-hmm. when it was me and Ed Gamble and Raji James, and we certainly had elements of where me and Ed would play the roles of not understanding anything. So we would ask Raji about his culture, uh-huh. and you know, stuff like that, and say, you know, can you eat this? And so,
yeah.
you know, and the joke of that really is meant to be that me and Ed are idiots. Yeah. But that's also the joke of Alf Garner, isn't it? That, you know, isn't it? And I have a lot, by the way, I have a lot of time for Johnny Spake's writing and what, you know, Warren Mitchell's performance of Alf Garner. I think it's fucking amazing. And just because he would espouse certain words at certain points. You know, the only discomfort I ever found in Sickness and in Health or in Till Death Us Do Part before it, or the Alf Garner characters, when he would use racial slurs, and that would be the laugh point. That would always slightly bother me, in terms of like that the audience were laughing because that word had been used.
Yeah, but don't you think though that the reason why Alf Garner had been painted into a corner so much, mainly by himself,
yeah,
and then would actually use a racial slur like nignog or whatever it was,
yeah,
right? It was because he, you know, he had nowhere else to go.
Absolutely, but what I mean though is the actual audience reaction. So the studio audience, or however the laugh had been cut in, you know, from the laugh track. That was punctuated at the wrong point. So it would be, you know, on the utterance of coon, for example, which Alf Garner would say a lot, and very flippantly as well, by the way. Like, you know, it was never actually used as a punctuation in the sentence, but that would always be the bit that, as I remember it anyway, I've not watched it for a while now, but I've got them all at home, but I always remember it as being that.
You get them all at home, huh?
Yeah, I've got them all at home, mate. Yeah, yeah. I've got all the transcripts in boxes. And I sit at home and I study them. No, I'm just a massive fan of Alf Garner. I think Alf Garner's like an incredible creation, but not for one second would he be a champion. Would he be a hero?
Yeah, but he himself would say that, you know what I mean, the people who, you know, he would feel like shouting at the audience by saying, but don't you realise...
We're taking the piss out of you.
...his take of you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not being lauded as some kind of hero, somebody to hold aloft and to exalt. It's basically showing up the ignorance which was prevalent in society, particularly at that time.
But that's always the difficulty there, Junior, isn't it? In terms of the people that you're parodying are, by their very definition, so fucking thick that they can't even see... that they're having the piss took out of them.
I know, but then again, the flip side is you could have somebody from, I don't know, Oxbridge or whatever, who now lives in Islington writing something to try and send up that, and then but missing the mark.
Yeah. I know you're on about.
The thing about the Alf Garner character, it was so spot on. Fine, the ignorant, you know, racist would watch it and enjoy it. But you can tell how strong the character is and how well observed the character is that also black people, Asian people, you know what I mean, could also watch and laugh at the same character.
Do you think that's what Dapper Laughs was trying to do then?
Pardon?
Do you think that's what someone like Dapper Laughs was trying to do? Not about in a racist way, but about sexist kind of idiots, that he played that character to show what people are like, or I don't know. It didn't work with me personally. Well,
my response to that is, my whole response to the Dapper Laughs thing has always been his biggest crime was not making it clear it was a character.
Yeah.
You know, was that he didn't, his performance was too weak. And so it wasn't, if that's genuinely what it was as a character, which I will give the man the benefit of the doubt and say,
you have to assume it. I'm
sure it, is. Mm. However, the character wasn't defined enough or wasn't.
And I think when you're painting with broad strokes, too many broad strokes, and there's no subtlety. Mm. I mean, you know, I'm sorry to use the phrase, especially when we talk about race, but there's no shading.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, it's either black or white, it's either, you know, left or right or whatever, and there's no subtlety going on. I think that's where the problem is. It's kind of like having, you know, a black character who just walks on stage wearing the, you know, Jamaican flag as a T-shirt and gold chain smoking a spliff. Trying to talk about, you know, unity.
Well, you're right. Do you know what, Junior? You're right. It's not about different shades and all that sort of thing, is it? There's only one race, isn't there?
It's the human race.
No, white.
Okay.
Mate, I've had that in my head for the last 30 seconds. And I've gone through so many fucking should I or shouldn't I. Like, so many, so in my head just going, do I go for this or not? Because if I say that and it's fucking silence.
I always kind of feel that, you know, as comics, especially in the environment that we work within, I think 9 times out of 10, we know that it's, you know, within ourselves, is coming from a good place.
No, absolutely, totally. But this is the issue we've got at the moment in the way that the society works and the way that, you know, entertainment and society works at the moment is, if I was dead famous, if that was like some fucking famous comic, you know, off Live at the Apollo or, you know, McIntyre show or something, that they could literally print, doing what I just did then, they could literally, the papers tomorrow say, X says there's only one race, the white race. And it's just there again in black and white, and then it gathers momentum, and people go, "That's terrible." And
if Bill Bailey had said that, or Jimmy Carr had said that, or Alan Carr, or John Bishop had said it'd be kind of presented, or we the reader would see it in one way.
Yeah,
if Jim Davidson had said that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it'd be construed in a completely different way. Right? Now, to be honest with you, I know Jim Davidson.
Yeah.
Right? If he'd said that, I'm thinking, because then again, I'd investigate what he said before and what he said after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't take that, those few words listed out, and then that's my headline, and then that's all I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to kind of see what is sandwiched, you know, what those words are sandwiched in between.
Totally, but they never are they? You never get the sandwich, you never get the bread, you only ever get the filling.
Exactly.
I
look a bit of filling with those, you know what I mean?
There's no need to do that voice.
Going back to my voice. Sorry. Make my mum smile.
How do you know Davidson?
I've opened for him a few times.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. How'd you get along with him?
I get along with him really, really well.
Right, okay.
I find his... Okay, politically, he's very, very much right of centre.
Yeah.
I mean, not...
He's right of right, isn't he? He's right of right.
He's right of right, yes. But I don't... But beyond that, if you were to put me in court and say, is Jim Davidson racist, I would say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hand on heart, I will say that to my family, I'll say that in court, I would say that on TV, I would say it in the papers. No, he's not. Yes, he has his faults and he has his weaknesses or whatever, but racism isn't one of them at all.
Well, you wouldn't. I mean, he sort of. My thing. I've only met him once. I met him, and it wasn't long ago that I met him at a party.
Did he call you nigger? No, sorry.
He didn't. No, but he was just shouting it about the place.
Okay.
No. I don't know if it was directed at me. I actually approached Davidson in a bizarre way, in that I'm of the circuit that's meant to hate him, and I'm not. Like, I don't really care for him as a comic, if I'm honest.
No.
As a comic, regardless of what he talks about, I don't really rate him that much as a comic, but I can see why. So, I think my issue with him is I've seen him do Les Dawson material quite a few times, and I've always got a bit of a beef with that because, you know, Les isn't around anymore, and it just sort of bothers me. And I'm a big fan of Les, but I felt that I think I've discussed this on the show before, you know, but it was when he did Hell's Kitchen or whatever show that was, and it was your man Brian Dowling from Big Brother.
Yeah.
And I've watched that footage in full. I've watched the whole thing, not just the highlight of it, the whole thing, what happened. And Jim said something like shirtlifters. Mm-hmm. He said, think of these shirtlifters. Now, I could see, I was like, oh, you fucking missed the goal there.
Yeah.
Oh, did you ever just miss the goal? Mm-hmm. But I could see the intent. So I could see that there was no, he wasn't like calling him a queer fuck. He was saying, like, he was kind of trying to speak on the same level and sort of like, do you know, like for example, when me and Reg D. Hunter went on tour together, I said the N-word so much.
Mm.
So much. Because he was saying it all the time. And it was positively encouraged on the tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, there was something bizarrely liberating about it in terms of like not feeling bound by that. But also at the same time...
I think I heard Louis C.K. said he hates when people say the word, say the N-word.
Yeah.
Not the actual phrase, the N-word.
Yeah.
Because it then forces the person hearing that to say N-word.
To complete it, yeah.
So it forces the person hearing that, forces them to do the math themselves inside their head, right?
Totally.
Now, the fact that, you know, you being with Reg and you being on a tour bus and whatever, it's, as you said, it's liberating because there's no boundaries. There's no restrictions, you know, whatever Reg says or the driver says, or everybody can use the same language and it's taken with love and whatever because the intent behind it, there's no malice. Now, if you and Reg were having an argument...
Yeah.
...and then suddenly, you know, you use the N-word on him, then okay. And I don't think it's the use of the word nigger, which is a problem. I think it's the anger and the force in which you're using that word in order to kind of hurt.
But there's the thing, when I say about it feeling like that it feels liberating, like that's even that can be misconstrued in terms of, like, for example, I'd never be the person to argue, well, why can't I say that? I spoke to someone recently, an older gentleman recently, who was saying, well, Paki is short for Pakistani. Why can't I say Paki? Mm. And I actually said to him, well, why do you want to?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Well, just don't say it. But but also, why?
Your life is lessened.
Yeah, why is it so important to you that you should be allowed to say it?
Yeah.
So I was like...
What if Minucha would use that word on stage?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I get, you know, him coming from his ancestors and whatever, his parents and all that, parentage being from Pakistan would feel, you know, he has a right to use...
Totally.
But as you said...
Why do you want to? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is it important to you? But on the subject, I'm sure I've said this before, but I'll tell you because I'm sure I've not told you that I remember at the time that I was on tour with Reg that we had like some like 4 days off, and I went home, and I was going to the supermarket with my my ex girlfriend. She's dead now, and I was going around the supermarket with her, and I was just going, hey, what's up, my nigga? And she was going, stop it. And I went, no, it's fine. I said, and I went, it's fine. Reg says it's fine. And she turned to me and she went, and this is what defined, this completely nailed it. She went, yes, but Reg isn't here.
Yeah.
And it totally would have been another thing entirely if he had been. It would have been completely different.
Yeah. But the weird thing is, I've heard, you know, it's one of those words, especially within hip-hop culture, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Kids that follow hip hop, whether it be black, white, Indian, or whatever, or you know, from the Far East, whatever. When they're talking to each other, everybody is nigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's no malice, there's no whatever. It's just like dude or mate or buddy or whatever.
But Richard Pryor, when he came back, because he went away to Africa, didn't he? And he came back and he said he was never going to use that word ever again.
Yeah, that was after his African trip, he said he kind of admitted that he was wrong. But I think that was a realization that Richard Pryor came to for himself.
Yeah.
Back in what I think that was the live on Sunset Strip concert about 82.
Yeah, so and right at the end of the show as well.
Yeah, yeah, that was, you know, that was 33 years ago. And even though it was quite a powerful, poignant moment at that point, you know, coming to a film on stage the following day around the world, you know, still saying it, and still are today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's no, I would like to get to the point that it would be, if the word is used and there's no malice, if it's just as a kind of like used as like bloke or mate or
whatever, yeah,
or buddy, then fine. But I think if it's ever used with malice, I'd like a massive siren.
It'll never get to that point. It'll never get to the point where it can be used, where it can be ever de-stung as a word. That can never ever happen. It simply can't. So I guess the way forward is just to fucking bin it off.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. There's loads of words. Like you mentioned, we talked about Afghan, you mentioned coon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I kind of find that. You know, but then again, you go to Australia and you see they're selling coon cheese.
Totally, yeah, 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 yeah. And wog is used a lot in Australia as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And I used to do a joke. Saying that I never saw the film Cocoon because I thought it was made by racists with a stutter. But to me, at the end of the day, it's words, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a collection of letters put together in a certain way. Now, I don't take offense at the word itself, but the intention behind the word.
Totally.
Why is this individual using this particular word at this particular time, especially in my earshot?
Yeah.
That's what I would take issue with. You know what I mean? I've been in the dressing room with some comics, and, you know, we've been banding around, you know, be they Jewish comics or Indian comics or Asian comics or black comics, and we've been banding
around. Or just normal ones.
Huh?
Or just normal ones.
Or just normal. We allow a couple of you in. But, you know, but like I said, at that point, there's no. As far as I can see, there's no maliciousness. There's no hurt, you know, intended in the use of these words.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to walk out stage in front of a room full of strangers and start spouting off what we've just been talking about in a dressing room.
Yeah.
It's not everybody that you can, but I think you can kind of find out, suss out quite quickly who you can have a laugh and a joke with and who takes things a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, 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 totally, totally. And that's on both sides of the fence as well. Yeah, you know, exactly. There's some, because we know on the circuit, there's a couple of like nasty cunt racists in there.
Mm. Mm.
Not many. I mean, I think even one is surprising given the job we do.
Yes.
But yeah. There's a couple in there, like, you know, there's a couple of like far right members and shit like that. Who,
yeah,
you know,
but then again, when you think about it, though, you know, do you really want everybody to have the same mindset?
Not at all. But I think, given what we've been talking about, though, that whole idea of not desensitized. What's the word I'm looking for? That whole idea of ultimate freedom of speech and ultimate sort of taking the power away from words like that, so that they can be used as mate and all that sort of thing. That can never happen. Like, I believe that can never happen. Full stop. Because there will always be people who will take utter offence at it, as is their right to do. You know, people take offence at whatever offends them. That's what offence is. So people can be offended. But they can't demand other people give a shit. That's always been my take on that.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I've been called racist on stage. When talking about black people, I've been called a racist on stage. I used to do a really, really, you know, joke about black weddings, about me not enjoying them. And halfway through the material, then a woman shouted out that I was racist.
Right. Said,
why? Well, I've been to a black wedding. I didn't find it that like that at all. You know, well, I'm saying I've probably been to a couple more than you have. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I tend to get invited to that kind of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a weird thing. You know what I mean? But I think all you can do is kind of hold on to your own truth. If that's probably the best.
But even that, though, you can't. You can hold on to your own truths for yourself, but you can't control how other people take that. That's the.
I know, but then again, I can't allow myself to give a shit.
Oh, no, not at all. Like, when we were talking before, though, if, like, proper famous comics says something like that, could literally end their career and with no intent.
Yeah.
You know, with no malice and no intent, it can you know, just how these things gather momentum. It's that people just jump all over causes, don't they? So it's a, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that in the short time we've had today, we've not sorted out racism.
Well, you see, the thing is that if we, right, the problem is that we're talking on the phone. Now, if we're in a pub,
yeah,
right, you were having a couple of bitters, I was having a spliff.
Yeah, yeah, I would be having a cup of tea and you would have a big spliff.
I'd come along with my own, like, Stephen Chandler's song.
Yeah, you'd have a big ghetto blaster on your ear.
Exactly, my gold chain.
Yeah, away, and I would have a bulldog.
I think we could have actually, you know, slammed it down. But we've made it, we've made... I was going to say a chink in the armour.
Fucking hell, mate. Really? Are you really going for that? Is that how you want to conclude this, is it?
I think we had made a dent in this.
That's all you had to say. But you had to go for chink at the very, very end.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, it's a fucking minefield, mate, that you've brought to our country.
Well, you've got to do something. It's not
Nottingham
Carnival this month, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, fuck, mate. I could go Nottingham. I'm not in Edinburgh. I could actually go to Nottingham Carnival. I'm not gonna, of course. I don't like that sort of music. look, Julia, it's been lovely speaking to you. It wasn't anything I'd planned. It wasn't at all what I'd planned to talk about, but because we'd had Barry on and we'd brought that thing up, I've never asked you about it before. I know loads of people have, but I've never asked you. So I thought, what better way to do it than just ask you fucking live on the radio?
Thank you. Thanks for the preparation as well.
It's fine, man. It's fine. And just speak to your management and just say, look, in future, get them to call this number. just sounds a bit weird when you answer the phone and say, oh, yeah, hi, I'm not dealing to you right now. I'm going to give you another number.
Yeah.
And then we went away and went, we've got literally no way of contacting him.
Yeah.
Literally, no way doing it.
Like I said, the signal for my mobile here is awful. So you now have my personal number, man.
Right. Yeah, we've saved that.
All over that shit.
Okay, lovely.
All right, dude. Stay safe, man. I'll see you soon.
Take it, buddy.
Bye-bye. Ginny Simpson there. I'm clicking and doing things at the same time because I don't know if I'm doing it right.
I hit my knee then. Maybe
we're not going to get Gordon Southern on there, are we?
No, I just texted and asked if we can do him next week instead.
What did he say?
I haven't replied yet because I haven't got iMessage. I'll probably get it when I get into a...
Oh, I haven't got iMessage.
When I get into the proper phone zone.
It's amazing. So today we found out that Ginny Simpson hasn't got iMessage.
iMessage.
We found out Gordon Southern tonight. I mean, you don't even need an iPhone, do you, not for that? I think you just need an internet connection.
Oh, I think it's an iPhone because they don't have iPhones.
Well, we've not. We've certainly not learned that.
Well, we've learned that.
And I'm trying to work out now what to do because I'm looking at the clock because if that clock's the one we're on.
It's 52 now.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Got 5 minutes, probably not worth, but then so first song.
Could play this.
Oh yeah. I like this one. I haven't heard this for a while.
No, I'm not playing it then. If you like it.
Can I just read out a tweet though?
No, I'm playing Dirty Diana.
Oh, Diana.
Go on, what's your tweet?
Well, we got this from Dave Dodd, who said today's show.
I think I've got a cold in Amsterdam. No, we spoke about Amsterdam.
Oh, wait, I haven't really.
In Amsterdam, I'll wait.
Yeah, I saw that. Who are you doing gigs with? I looked on your Twitter, you did one with
Tim Key,
yeah.
Yep.
And were other
just me and Tim Key.
Okay.
Me and Tim Key were the Brit acts, and then there was a Dutch compa. So it was Stefan Pop was the he's the compa for most of the nights. Apparently it means, oh, fucking Tim told me, because they watched a film where Pop kept coming up on the subtitles, and it meant, it's like baby or something it means, or something like that. Or doll it might mean.
Right.
So he compared most of them, and another gentleman... I was going to say whose name I can't remember, but I don't think I ever knew it.
Right, okay.
I don't think I was ever told his name, so I don't think I've forgotten it. At the Tumelo Club in Amsterdam.
And you like that, don't you?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked it. I thought, in my head before I went there, I thought it was going to be like a big sort of like showcase show, like in a big theatre or something.
Where everyone's
That's what
stoned.
I thought was going to happen. No, I didn't think that. I didn't do any jumps at all, I was there.
No, well,
that's walked very through good. It a few times, but. I went to the Sex Museum.
Did you?
Holy shit, that needs shutting down. Oh. That was €4 and I want them back.
Oh.
There was nothing in the Sex Museum that I couldn't have seen for free on Google.
Right.
Other than there was a mannequin of a prostitute in a doorway, in like a red light thing, which I could have seen in real life if I'd walked.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have live sex museums in there, aren't they? Which are known as. Is that really real? So they're like brothels? Or are they just women in the window?
I didn't
posing?
See much of it. We walked down there in the afternoon 2 days ago. So it would have been. So Saturday afternoon, we walked down there. Sort of almost by accident. It's just like the area we were going off to. I was going to. There's a DC shop, and I like DC shoes, right? Yeah. DC shop, their own shop in Amsterdam, didn't have my size trainers.
Oh.
Any at all. I was fucking fuming.
Do they have big feet in Holland?
No, the woman just said, oh, we've only been open for a year. She was really apologetic.
I've only been open for a year.
And I was like, so what does that mean? That you've sold all the size nines, yeah. or that you just don't, or you're waiting for them still to come yeah. in? Fucking nightmare. So I didn't get anything there. I've not had any trainers on all week. It's been horrible. I've got them on now. I'm loving it.
What have you been wearing then?
My boots. I've got boots because I wanted to be kind of smart on stage, smart for me anyway on stage. But I didn't need to do it at all. It was very laid back. Just gorgeous club, just called Tumla Club, run by the comics. There's no cunt manager. There's no sort of big business thing going on there at all. All the bar staff are all lovely. All the the comics themselves run it and book it themselves. It's a collective and it's quite like sort of cooperative thing. Amazing. The UK comedy scene could learn so much from it.
Mm. And how did you and Tim go down? What they got
well.
Yeah.
And Tim's kind of left field a little bit sometimes as well.
So you think maybe may not have got, but they did.
They missed, well, both of us, they missed certain things. But generally speaking, you got it across and you got it. And they loved audience interaction stuff because I don't think that happens very much, really, in terms of genuine sort of anything could happen sort of feeling. So they loved that. But my just overarching feeling was I felt valued as a comic. I felt sort of valued as a... I felt like I was important in the room. And I don't mean in an egomaniacal way. I mean, I didn't feel like the least important thing in a comedy club, which is how I feel regularly at British comedy clubs. Because you are, as a British comic, the least important person in the room after beer and food and fucking, pandering to hen nights and stag nights and shit. It was just a really lovely, relaxed atmosphere. That they just sat and watched it and enjoyed it and let you get on with it and only got involved when you invited them in, which you do as a comic, but it was brilliant.
Well done to the Dutch people.
Yeah, well done to the Tumla Club.
Yeah,
fucking loved it. We out of time now.
We kind of are.
Count me down.
Well, we're 57, so we are.
Oh, fuck it.
I didn't get time to read Dave Dodd's tweet.
Read it quick now.
Today's show is a mind fuck today. Am I dying? And one of them always lies. We never lie.
One of them always lies.
Lies. You never lie.
Oh, I see.
You never lie.
No, it means like it's like that riddle of like if you go to two door handles and one goes to hell, one goes to heaven, and they speak to you, one always like it's just a mind fuck thing.
Okay.
Definitely wasn't worth putting the four candles, yeah.
Yeah, four candles.
Too honest. This was a triumph. Fucking wasn't. I'm making a note here. Huge success.